You're gonna get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. But you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're gonna remind you of what I've been saying. On your own good.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets.
They're gonna put y'all back in chains.
I don't like it any more than you think.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
This is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay.
Against us? Should we be concerned about our safety? What is he doing with this divisive language?
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
But he's taking these shots, antagonism, yep. Taunting to the intelligence community.
Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
We gotta stay on the street. And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need this.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
You're in the arena. You got to be ready to take a punch. You got to be ready to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Not only do we need to disinvest from police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
I believe that injustice is a threat to the safety of all people. Once someone doesn't have access to clean water, they have no choice but to riot, right?
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Fight in the streets.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
He should have spent a bit more time at the range. It's a pity he missed.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
With all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire. I'm going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Could you imagine, just imagine in your mind, if you told people they couldn't vote next November? I think there would be a genuine uprising in this country.
But Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go up. No. No. When they go low, we kick.
men.
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. My favorite day of the week. Actually, Saturdays are my favorite day of the week. I'm lying to you. Farmers markets, that's why. Which is kind of disappointing because here in Texas, you would think that they'd keep the farmers markets open all year round. When I lived in Florida, at least we did. But unfortunately, I just found out the hard way. The other day I went to the farmers market and it was closed. Apparently they only do seasonal here in Texas, which is quite strange, All right, we got a lot going on over here today. Excited that you're all jumping on with us. A great lineup of guests joining the show. Sonia Labasco is going to be joining me in a bit, in about 25 minutes. We got an exclusive story for you. Why is it exclusive? Well, because when I reach out for comments, suddenly it sounds like things might have changed over at TSA. TSA, you know, they've got a great new comms team over at DHS. Love them over there. Honestly, they are helpful. They respond so fast. They are great. But we're sifting through, as many of you guys know, because I've sued TSA, we are sifting through a lot of just baggage at TSA. By baggage, I mean people who are not doing what they should be doing. Sonia Labasco called me and she was looking for to, because she runs, obviously, in case you guys are unaware, the it's the Air Marshals National Council. And so she represents a lot of the federal air marshals, thousands of them. And so she told me that they weren't receiving their raises. There was a 3.8% raise because of President Trump that all federal agents are supposed to receive. But because of someone at TSA, according to them, not doing paperwork, their agents weren't going to receive that. Potentially. There was an email out that was sent out to their Orlando air marshals saying, hey, listen, it's up in the air right now. Well, yesterday I reached out for comment and it looks like that's changed. We'll bring you that email in just a little bit. A little good news there to kick off the show with. Also some more good news. Mark Lucas, who we have on the show quite often, he's a veteran. He also runs Veteran Action. He'll be joining the show because he's got good news. You know, he's been pushing to help out vets and to create better services for vets. Well, big victory for him. A Senate Republican has actually jumped on board and is pushing forward legislation that he has drafted. And he is excited about that. So he's going to join us to discuss that. We also might have Wood Lyman on the show. Wood Lyman's had a very busy day, very busy week. He's over in Minnesota, Minneapolis specifically right now. And I mean, he's getting tear gas with the protesters because he's covering it and he's literally on the ground in the heat of things. So I asked Wood. He said he will try to jump on with us this morning. Might have him. We will have, though, which I'm so excited about. This is going to be a great discussion, mainly because he is back. Mr. Steve Baker over at the Blaze will be joining the show as well. And as many of you guys know, Steve had quite the severe medical issue just a few weeks back. But he did text me and say, Brianna, I'm ready. And so we're excited to have him back on the show today. I can't wait to talk to him. He's working on a new story in regards to the J6 pipe bomber. And we'll bring that to you today. We'll also be joined by my girl, Mel Kay, as well, because Mel's got a lot to sound off about, you know, the CIA operatives that are currently in, let me remind you, that are currently in right now, the Senate. Well, one of them has just put out a video, and I'm sure Mel's going to dunk on her. So we're going to play that for you in a bit. And we're also going to be talking about AI at the Pentagon. Obviously, this is something, the technocracy is something that Mel follows extensively. So we look forward to having her on to discuss just that. All right, so a lot underway. You know, I'm kind of getting tired of telling you about Minneapolis, but it's still happening. Minneapolis is still happening. Last night was another crazy night, of course, because we're not really doing anything. We're sending out strong warnings, but we're not really following up with much. Take a look. We just saw this. This recently just came up in regards to the vehicles, the government vehicles that are being vandalized. There are 11 government vehicles or rentals, because a lot of the time they do rent. I found out the hard way. They actually rent from Avis and Enterprise and all of the rental car companies. I actually almost got stranded in Brownsville because of it. They're like, sorry, ma'am, we don't have your car. It's currently being used. So what you see here right now are 11 government vehicles, which also, again, could be rentals, but they were vandalized. And it's just one of the many things that are going on right now across the state of Minnesota. There was also this video that I want to get to you as well. This was coming from Fox News. This is apparently a federal agent had to pull his firearm while they keep calling them agitators. I'd call them communist pigs who are out there and intentionally trying to create chaos because, well, that's what they do. They're violent left-wing terrorists. So the officers in the passenger side, he has to pull his firearm pointed at them as they're trying to maneuver and make their way through a crowd. As many of you guys know, these left-wing hacks, they like to go around vehicles and surround them and, you know, obviously taunt them. It's all a taunting thing. And they sit there and say, oh, well, you didn't have to hit us. No, well, I mean, again, low IQ activities. When you're sitting there and you're standing in front of a moving vehicle, if the vehicle's just going to stop, we're going to be intimidated by you. No, no. If you're dumb enough to stand in front of a 4,000-pound car, find out. That needs to be the theme here, folks. You see, I was watching a couple of these like corporate media outlets who are trying to be empathetic to protesters who have been injured from obviously unleashing on DHS agents, and you know, one protester lost his eye. Sad story, truly sad story. But how did you get to that point? Because when I'm watching the videos of when the federal agents are reacting, they're reacting because you guys are antagonizing them, because you guys are doing things to get them to react, right? It's not a peaceful protest. You're not gathering with signs and just saying things to them. That we could support because, I mean, I don't have to agree with you, but I could support it because it is your First Amendment, right? But you're a terrorist. You're a terrorist. And you think you're going to get away with it. This is the guy. Or maybe it's a girl. Who knows with these people? Tragic, though. Lost his eye. Really sad, really unfortunate, and is in his early 20s. So now the rest of your life, you're going to have to be dealing with this. But again, this only happens when you do stupid things. This isn't like January 6th, right, with Capitol Police are just shooting into crowds of peaceful protesters and trying to get them to react, of course. And we see the footage. We have people on the ground who are there with you, like with Lyman, who might be joining us later in the show. These things aren't just a sign of government aggression. And it's weird, right? Because I never wanted to find myself in a situation where I'm defending the government. But that's what these left-wing terrorists have me doing. They have me defending the government, which is really never a stance I want to take. But here we are. I don't know if you saw this one yesterday, but the ACLU doing exactly what you'd expect them to do in all of this. Race baiting, filing lawsuits, claiming that the Trump administration is just racist and that's all that's happening here. They want to be empathetic, of course, to the illegal invaders. They filed this lawsuit against DHS yesterday, against the Operation Metro Surge. Now, I read through it extensively. It's quite interesting because it's just what you expected it to be. When I sift through it, if you're looking to see what their complaints are, they are alleging there are thousands of mass and heavily armed federal agents conducting massive warrantless stops. Again, you don't need a warrant to stop someone. You don't need a warrant, okay? We all know this. They're also arresting, and they're saying targeting, of course, Somalians and Latinos without reasonable suspicion. They're claiming that this violates the Fifth Amendment, Equal Protection Clause. They're also saying it's unreasonable seizures and warrantless arrest without probable causes, obviously. They all say that violates the Fourth Amendment, excessive force in some encounters, which they're claiming includes tackling pepper spraying and breaking windows, according to the ACLU. They're also claiming that DHS has apprehended U.S. citizens and legal residents despite proof of status, which, okay, that could be a problem if they do have proof of status. Again, I mean, I drive around with my ID. I got my ID. Why? Because you need one. You need one. So it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around any of this being factually true. But again, they're going to have to prove this now in court if they file this lawsuit. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, listen, when we're sitting here and watching what's going on in Minneapolis, understand something. Democrats are looking for the deflection because they have been a part of a massive fraud scheme that has recently been exposed. It's been going on for many, many years, but it's the validation why so many Democrats, and it's their validation, why they go out there and they throw themselves on the sword regarding the Somalians in that state. Now, if you're sitting back and wondering what the heck's going on, 100,000 Somalians live in Minnesota. But for some reason, and by the way, there's only about 6 million residents. So why are they literally changing their flag? They are doing all these things to appease a very small demographic, considering it's only 100,000. Again, it's 100,000 too many, but it's 100,000. Well, they're using all of this as a deflection. Now Tim Walz will go back and forth with his mixed messaging, and it's all intentional, of course. But in clip one, you're going to hear him try to say that Minnesota is a place for all. Take a listen.
Minnesotans believe in the rule of law, and Minnesotans believe in the dignity of all people. We're a place where there's room for everybody, no matter who you are or who you love or where you came from. A place where we feed our kids, we take care of our neighbors, and we look out for those in the shadows of life. We're an island of decency in a country being driven towards cruelty. We will remain an island of decency, of justice, of community, of peace. And tonight I come before you simply to ask, don't let anyone take that away from us. Thank you. Protect each other. And may God bless the people of Minnesota.
Protect each other. That's what his message is. What he says, he's probably talking about going to war with governments, I would assume. You see, he's been one of the many pushing for all of this. In fact, we played it for you last week. Clip four, we'll play it for you again. But Tim Walz did declare war on the federal government. Take a listen.
Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government. I think in this case that the National Guard is their main mission. They have a dual mission.
Yeah. So as you heard there, he was declaring war. Now all of a sudden things have changed though. Things have changed for him. He actually wants to turn the temperature down. It's according to a statement that he had to post, which is probably like a legal thing at this point. It's probably a legal thing at this point. He wants everything to calm down now. Let's turn down the temperature. Actually, the direct quote is, let's turn the temperature down. Stop the campaign of retribution. This guy is a scumbag. He's an absolute scumbag. Why am I saying that? Well, obviously, he's the one who's been cranking all these protesters up, spewing lies. Again, he is a liar. You know, Renee Good, as much as they want to sit there and try to make this seem like this is the next George Floyd, they'll probably build monuments of this woman. The reality of it is yes, she was shot. She was shot four times, according to Minnesota Fire, who did put out a statement and put out a document regarding how many times she was shot. So she was shot four times. Four times. But why was she shot four times? Well, she wouldn't be shot four times if there wasn't a federal agent dealing with internal bleeding currently. Why? Well, because she decided to use her car as a weapon and to hit a federal agent. She decided. She was smirking, laughing, thought it was funny. That's not funny now, is it? Now, that's how you were looking to turn down the temperature. Why? Well, because they probably know what's coming their way. These people have been antagonizing. They have been intentionally spewing violent rhetoric because they're hoping the crazies in their own movement, well, that they do something. Now, it's interesting when you look at the Democrats and what they've been spewing, because Jacob Frey, who obviously is the mayor in Minneapolis, actually it's an upgrade considering who was potentially going to become the mayor. Yeah, remember that Somalian man who looked like literally a Somalian pirate? Well, we were all thankful when he lost, but Jacob Frey, not really an upgrade. It's like you're literally judging on a scale with these guys. But interesting enough, he said something that was really wild yesterday. And I want you to not only pay attention to the clip, but also pay attention to the Minneapolis police chief's reaction to what he says. Because he is trying to say that Minneapolis PD needs to fight, fight, federal agents. It's so absurd. Take a listen to clip three.
And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street, to stand by their neighbors.
Did you see that? Did you see the eyebrows? Did you just say that? You see, if you pay attention, the two of them have a lot of friction, you could tell. Unfortunately, the police chief has, I mean, he's just cucked, right? He goes out there, he apologizes all the time. He apologizes to the Somalian population in case I offended any of them. But obviously, that's a wild statement to make. You're assuming that Minneapolis PD probably overworked, underpaid, and you want them now to fight the federal government, fight ICE. Little beta man over there won't do anything. He can't even probably ball up his fist. But he's sitting there and he's going to try to sit there and say that the Minneapolis PD need to go fight ICE. That's his message. That's his message. By the way, these are the people who were leading the BLM terrorist movement just a few years back. Oh, the police weren't your friends then, but now you want them to fight off ICE agents for you, huh? What a disgrace of a man. Disgrace of a man. Zero testosterone, walks like a woman. Coward, loser. Screamed at by protesters, and he just walks down with his head in shame. Be a man. Be a man. And to whimper over, oh my gosh, this is classic. I don't know how your political career wasn't over after this, when you're whimpering over a golden casket of a man who died of a fentanyl overdose, of a man who was once accused of putting a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach to rob her. And you're crying over him being dead. You see, you think that these people would just never make their way into politics again. But there's something amongst Democratic voters where they're very forgetful, very forgetful. And they have no shame, no shame. Now, again, I really want you to pay attention because I have a bad feeling that Minneapolis PD, that police chief, is probably in some trouble right now. Why? Well, because he keeps challenging the mayor. You see, the mayor is out there telling his officers that they want them to fight ICE. But when you listen to clip two, you're going to hear a totally different take on all of this. In fact, calling the protest illegal. Take a listen.
There's a crowd gathered in the area, and we have called for mutual aid from the Minnesota State Patrol and Hennepin County Sheriff. The crowd is engaging in unlawful acts. They have thrown fireworks at police officers, and at multiple times, gas has been deployed. Police are attempting to disperse this unlawful assembly at this time. I urge anyone that is at the scene to leave immediately.
Did you see Jacob Frey's face? I mean, he's literally grilling him. He's literally lasering holes into that man's head because he called it unlawful. Because it's an illegal gathering. Because yes, folks, you do need a permit. And yes, folks, no protest happens at night. Doesn't happen. But you see, look at him. He's going to kill him in his sleep if he can't kill him now. I mean, this is what's going on. This is what's going on right now in Minneapolis. I bet you the police chief's gone in a couple of days. There's no way he's going to survive this. That looked like a hostage video. That's what that looked like. That's what's going on in Minneapolis right now. Both of them obviously beefing these days, not really liking one another. But they have to paint a smile on their face and pretend like everything's A-okay in Minneapolis right now. And you know, it's really bad because, I mean, this is why I hate public schools so much. And I feel so bad for people to send their kids there. Because take a look at Minneapolis public schools. The district itself is giving employees whistle packs, according to Liz Collins, and handing these out. It's notes with whistles telling them how to blow a whistle to alert neighbors to ICE. I mean, it's insane, these photos. Simple tool for a fast alert. Loud, recognizable, impossible to ignore. Our voices are stronger together. Code one, code two, on the street. I mean, like, look at these people. A whistle? Blow in a broken rhythm. Pre. I mean, come on. Come on. Hey, I'll give it to them, though. At least they're able to all stick together on these issues. Yeah, they might not be intelligent. Yeah, they might be trying to go after law enforcement, but at least they're all sticking together on it. Something Republicans just never seem to do. I don't know, folks. It's getting really bad, obviously, but we'll see how it all plays out. But also local law enforcement, this, we should play this one too, clip five, because Minneapolis, there's a man who apparently was speaking at one of their town halls, and he details specifically how the city is trying to block ICE agents, and surprise, surprise, they're doing so by dumping snow to block off the vehicles for coming down the road. This probably could be a safety issue. Take a listen.
We are on our own. So what are you going to do about it? I acknowledge the difficulty of a city standing up to the federal government, but that should only inspire our creativity. I would recommend that our snowplows should dump snow to block the roads to the Whipple building and any staging areas to prevent these thugs from launching violent raids on our city. Also, our traffic laws apply to everyone. Minneapolis officers should be ordered to keep our streets safe by ticketing anyone going 31 and a 30, using a cell phone while driving, or not wearing a seatbelt. Make it personally expensive for anyone who comes here to attack our community. Every moment ICE is delayed will mean the difference between our rights not being trampled on, families being together at the end of the day, and our neighbors not being murdered. If officers refuse to do this or look the other way, they should be reprimanded and fired for abandoning our city. Then volunteers should be vetted and deputized to enforce traffic laws and given a path to becoming sworn officers for stepping up in this crisis. The actions of ICE is what the Gestapo looks like in the 21st century. They are here in our city. What are you going to do about it? Thank you.
All right, so that was advice that he was looking to give the city council to how to prevent ICE from doing that. But listen, folks, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. They are trying to rile up their crowd. They are trying to get violent, more violent than what they already are. And, folks, it's just not surprising to me anymore. Minneapolis is an absolute cesspool. It's sad. It's sad. If you've lived there your whole life, I'm sure you guys are really upset right now as you've seen your city transform into a communist hellhole. All right, folks, in the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right this second. Because in case you're wondering, we have a few more hours left. I don't even know how much longer this is going to last. But we've given away that free hat. Every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, no minimum required. You're going to receive this free hat while supplies last, of course. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And also, today's the last day to enter to win that F-250 Ford Raptor, as well as the black F-250 Ford, and $20,000 in cash. Why not? Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you enter into that. Who couldn't use $20,000? I bet you could. I could. Head on over to alexjonesstore.com. All right, folks, we're going to be waiting. Oh, Sonny Lobos will be joining us in a little bit. Again, this is going to be an exclusive you won't see anywhere else because TSA just responded to me earlier this morning in regards to a story that we were working on, and it's good news for federal air marshals. Good news. And again, I don't think there's really any – I've never seen a situation where federal air marshals have overreached and done anything to abuse their powers. So this is a good one. This is a good one. They were apparently not receiving, and it was believed to have been a retaliation move. They weren't going to receive that 3.8% raise. It was on hold. That's what the air marshals were left thinking, that, oh, gosh, we might not receive that 3.8% because it was sent out in an email from a – higher up, but it looks like, according to TSA, that is no longer. Sonny Lobosco will be joining me to discuss all of that and a lot more. But you guys know, we also have Mark Lucas joining the show from Veteran Action. He's the founder of Veteran Action, and he's got good news for us on the front of helping our vets. We'll also have Steve Baker on the show and Mel Kane a little bit, so buckle up, more to discuss in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing, and she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, it's very rare we get to do a little victory lap, so let's do one. Why not? As many of you guys know, we have her on the show quite often. Sonia Labosco is a good friend of mine. She is a patriot. She is fighting for our federal employees who are doing their very best to try to make us a safer, more secure country while also calling out the corruption-related issues. And Sonia recently contacted me about a story and what her federal air marshals were facing. They were facing the possibility of not receiving a 3.8% raise. Now, obviously, this was deeply concerning for Sonia, given the fact that she's the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council. And the fact that her members possibly weren't going to be receiving that raise. Now, it was believed that that raise was being withheld due to the fact that the TSA administrator failed to file paperwork that was necessary to gain that 3.8% raise. Well, good news. I reached out to TSA for comment on it, and they responded to me this morning with some very positive news, and I'm very excited to bring this one up. TSA responded to this report by saying that federal air marshals will receive the 3.8% special pay raise, just like other dedicated law enforcement professionals across the federal government, and that's effective January 11th, 2026. So that's good news for our federal air marshals and those fighting for them. But what was really happening behind the scenes in all of this? Well, joining me now to discuss is Sonia Lobosco to break down this story that you guys are only going to see here on InfoWars, of course. And Sonia, it's always an honor to have you on. Obviously, you are a patriot, but you are also the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council, as well as a retired supervisor for federal air marshals. And so you know all these things related to this. And when you called me and we spoke about this, I was obviously upset because I know your air marshals are doing their very best out there every day. And so it didn't make any sense to me why they would be missing out potentially on this raise that was given to them by President Trump. But there was a lot that was going on behind the scenes. So break this down for us.
Well, Brianna, when our members reached out to me, because we have members in all 20 field offices throughout the United States and every Air Marshal office, headquarters, and in training, when they reached out to me, I said, there's no way that you're not going to get this raise. So as we started digging a little bit deeper, we found out they were not going to get the raise. OPM had released the memorandum showing the federal agencies that were going to receive this 3.8% raise. It was a 1% across the board for federal employees and then an additional 2.8% for law enforcement. And the Federal Air Marshal Service was left off of that memorandum for those receiving it. So, you know, the minute I got wind of this, we started rallying. We reached out to congressional oversights. Of course, we reached out to you, our media exposure. You seem to be able to get them off their duff when they're not doing the right thing, and we really appreciate that. We reached out to the National Association of Police Organizations, the White House, you name it. We were screaming to the top of our lungs that you are not going to sideline and disrespect our federal air marshals who have been out there doing this job. They're on Secret Service details. They're doing ERO. That's, you know, the removal work with ICE. They're in every component of DHS doing the work, but getting none of the credit. So, yeah, we came out swinging. And thanks to you, Brianna, I think it's because you got involved is the reason that this changed.
Sonia, it's so crazy to me. And this is the really good thing about when I bring something to the DHS communications team, to their attention, they do an incredible job at responding. And so it's been a great resource for me just reaching out to their team and just saying, hey, listen, I'm seeing this. Do you guys have anything to say? And they do respond. I mean, it's one of the very few agencies that do respond. They're respectful enough to respond and give you proper comments. So I think a lot of the times when we put this on their radar, that they make it happen behind the scenes because they don't want this to obviously go into effect. I mean, they wouldn't want to see that. And I know that they are patriots over there as well. So that's the one really good thing about DHS right now. There's a lot of good things, but that's the one main thing that I really do appreciate about them. And, you know, it's so fascinating to me because it sounds like, and I asked them too, I said, is this something that just recently went into effect? Because I wanted to see if it was because we reached out to them. And you know, one person did say, yes, I think so. But I don't want to take full credit just in case that wasn't the case. But, I mean, the statement itself is just clear. They do say directly that now you guys are all going to be receiving, the air marshal is now going to be receiving that 3.8% special pay raise. So that's really good news. When it comes to why this was held up, though, it's from my understanding that it's supposed to be signed or there's supposed to be some form submitted over by the TSA administrator. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Brianna. What I think we believe what is happening behind the scenes, there's a lot of retaliation going on against the federal air marshals, because remember, we blew the whistle on the Quiet Skies program, which is now defunct. Secretary Noem ended that program last year after it was exposed that TSA targeted innocent Americans for their First Amendment protected speech. So because the air marshals were the main whistleblowers that came forward on that, the retaliation within TSA against the air marshals has been fierce. So I think it's very telling that when you go around TSA and you go to DHS, you can get things done. But when you're internally staying within the ranks at TSA, the federal air marshals are being stomped on. So I hope the Secretary Noem will see this broadcast and understand there's five layers of rot within the TSA, the Biden holdovers, that have got to be dealt with. If we do not remove these five layers of absolute total resisting the administration, resisting what the administration wants to do, this is going to continue to happen every day. And workforce morale is being definitely lowered because we thought things would be different with President Trump, you know, in office now. And unfortunately, at TSA, things are the same.
Yeah, there needs to be some serious reforms there. And I know you guys are calling it out, specifically what changes need to be made. And we do hope that they do take your insights and run with it. Because, again, there are some serious changes that need to be made. But, Sonny, you and I work on a lot of really important stories often, and it's an honor to do just that with you. And there was a really, really important story regarding Christine Crowder, who is someone who you've been advocating for many, many years because her husband is a federal air marshal. And our audience is well familiar with the story because we had her here in studio just a few days ago, where she detailed how she was added to this terror watch list. And she found out after her husband found out, because he works for the air marshals. Well, you know, after we released all the documents related to the investigation into her, they accused her of being at the Capitol on January 6th, even though she wasn't there. That investigation should have concluded pretty quickly, because the photo that was being used to validate the investigation was not her. And in fact, she does deal with an injury, and this was the most telling part in all of this, where she's unable to lift her left arm. And she does have some issues when it comes to walking. She can't walk up steps. And so she wouldn't even put herself in that position to be at the Capitol that day, because she knew it was a large gathering. And instead of going to her home and quickly talking to her to kind of end the investigation into her, which, again, would have happened very quickly, they didn't do that. They didn't confront her directly. Instead, they used that image to validate about 2 years of surveillance. She was surveilled at her home for, I think there was four times the FBI went outside of her home to look at her home, even though, again, her husband's a federal air marshal. And they did call her a domestic terrorist, even though, again, her husband is a federal air marshal. Now, behind the scenes, you guys were trying to clear her name because you knew this wasn't her. And unfortunately, they didn't really respond too quickly until they miraculously saw an interview with you and Kyle Serafin's show. And then went and knocked on her door and spoke with her personally, and then realized, all right, she wasn't there that day. But things have gotten pretty bad. They've gotten pretty bad. I want to first play clip 10 just for our audience. If you missed out on the interview, it was an exclusive sit-down interview we did on January 6th with Crowder. Take a listen. I was going through your documents. There's the image of the woman that they're accusing you of being, and she's lifting up her left hand,
right,
her arm completely, and she's waving to someone. I spoke with you yesterday about this, haven't been able to do that since you were 26 after an injury.
Yes, I had a stroke at 26 years old, and I never regained the use of my left arm. So my friend knew that because she's been on vacation with me. We were close for a long time.
Yeah.
So why they would think someone, all they had to do was look at me or research something about me and find out that I was disabled. So there was obviously no way I was climbing the Capitol steps, number one. Mm-hmm. Or number two, I could use my left arm.
Yeah.
And they also left out that my husband was, you know, an air marshal himself.
Yeah. I'm sure that was just a coincidence, though.
Right. Just weird coincidence that they forgot that.
Well, I mean, as we go through all of this, we look through all the information, I'm glad you have this now. I'm glad you've been able to obtain all this information. This is really important for you to have. And I do hope that you guys are able to get counsel here, because what they did to you is unacceptable, and there needs to be accountability. The people who are part of all of this, they also need to be arrested.
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to be arrested. At least fired.
I don't blame the air marshals that had to follow me. They were just following orders.
It
was the people at the top.
Yes, those are the ones.
Those are the people at the top who allowed this and told my husband, you know, walk away.
Yeah. So obviously this shouldn't have happened in the first place, Sonia. And, you know, thankfully the FBI director has now come out and he's put out a statement saying that this shouldn't have happened to her. We also received a comment from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem as well. But here's the concerning part that I have with all of this, Sonia, and I want to get your take on this, because while the FBI director is very aware that this is wrong and this shouldn't have happened to her, I'm told that the FBI agents that were involved in all of this are still at the department. But it gets even worse, because there's an individual who was just recently named as the deputy director, Christopher Ra. He is now the deputy director of the FBI, replacing Dan Bongino. And it's interesting, because prior to all of this, he did actually spend some time over the Houston field office. He was a supervisor for the special agents over there. So technically, this would be something under his supervision. So while the director is admitting that what happened to Crowder is wrong, we're not hearing of any firings on the FBI level. We're also not hearing about any firings or any repercussions, because one of these supervisors at that field office has since been promoted to the second highest cop in law enforcement right now. What do you make of all of this? Because it seems like we're being gaslit to say, yeah, things are happening behind the scenes, but if you pay attention, they're actually not really happening behind the scenes.
You know, Brianna, this case should outrage every American because it is absolutely clear the FBI absolutely 100% lied on Ms. Crowder. They lied and built a case on absolute lies. They said they reviewed videotapes inside the Capitol and wrote on actual investigatory documents they identified her. They actually took her to a DOJ prosecutor. She was in the queue to be prosecuted after never even being there, and they never even interviewed her. So if you see that DOJ Kenneth Cutler, he was going to prosecute her without a zero shred of evidence based on what the FBI had put into the investigative file. And absolutely the number two guy that just got promoted was in charge of this very specific unit during the time that this happened to the Crowders out of the Houston field office. So if you think that the rot is not as deep at the FBI as it is at the TSA, everybody needs to take a step back and think about what's happening. We have not seen the accountability that we were promised. And after reviewing this case and seeing this promotion that recently happened, there has been zero accountability within the FBI regarding the agents that lied on these documents. And there's been no accountability at the DOJ either for the prosecutor who was going to arrest and probably raid. If it hadn't been for the Kyle Serafin show, I do believe the FBI was going to raid Christine's house and arrest her. She would have been in the D.C. gulag with no way to bond out, being completely innocent. If you go back to that time period in 2023, when her case came forward, it would have been a nightmare for her and her air marshal husband, who, by the way, has been in the government 29 years and never been disciplined, has had a top secret security clearance the whole time. So this is a travesty. This is an American travesty, and nobody's been held accountable for it.
Yeah, and that's a big problem here. And I reached out to the FBI for comment. I did give them a deadline of 5 p.m. Eastern time today so they could respond to this, because obviously we're all very concerned. But constantly I reach out to the FBI and I do not get a response when I do, or they'll say something stupid like this is a personnel matter and they can't tell me. But I did specifically ask how many agents, and I don't need names, I just need numbers, have been fired or suspended for what they did in the Crowder case, because clearly the FBI director knows it was wrong. So whether he actually intends on acting, I mean, that's something that needs to be done. And I'm so tired of seeing these toxic people over at the agency make their way to the top. You know, it's disappointing, but the FBI director, the reason why a lot of us backed him was because he sat up there and he said that we're going to start purging all of the filth from the FBI. We're going to get rid of all of these corrupt individuals. And when Tom Fitton goes through the numbers and finds out just a little bit over 100 people who have been fired from the agency, when thousands of them were involved in cases quite similar, I mean, this is something that's very, very alarming and very unnerving for a lot of us. I know a lot of people at home right now are upset about this. And then we have people online gaslighting us, tell us that there are things happening behind the scenes that they can't tell us about. But don't worry, it's happening. And we're just supposed to trust them. And, you know, I don't need to hear names. I just want to see numbers. And so we're going to keep pushing for that. But it's not just that, too. It's also over the DOJ. And it's interesting, right? Because you just cited an email. Let's get that email up, because this email, Sonia, has me fired up. I am actually really enraged by Senator Rand Paul's office for redacting the name of the individual that sent out this email. Now, thankfully, we got our hands, and I got my hands on the unredacted email regarding who sent this one. And it's crazy because the DOJ didn't even redact his name. Keep that in mind. But Rand Paul's office decided to protect this man. His name is Kenneth Corder. And the part that has me fired up about this is Kenneth is the one, like you described, telling the other prosecutors to move Christine Crowder's case into the future prosecution date folder, pretty much. And they're going to go prosecute her at a later date. They're also telling, and this is also insane, I recommend that you conduct a social media, like he's telling them to analyze her social media, which later results in actually her Facebook page being subpoenaed. So Facebook was subpoenaed. So this guy is not only going after her for free speech and trying to get a hold of her social media records, but he's also going to, like you said, or have her arrested. Now, Kenneth Corder, when I posted this email, he's the senior at the time, senior counsel for Capitol Siege Section. Keep in mind, folks, he hasn't been fired. In fact, he's still at the DOJ. In fact, when we ran this email, my phone was blowing up, phones, I should say, because people are really angry at the fact that this man is still working for the agency, that this guy was the one who was leading all the prosecutions. This guy was the one who was smarter than, one person described him as smarter than Matthew Graves, when Matthew Graves was running the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. And he was the one who was going out there and orchestrating all of the evil we saw with the J6 persecutions, the terrorism enhancements, the sedition, all of it was because of this guy, is what I'm told. And I'm told not to let up on him. Sonia, I asked the chairman, Chairman Barry Loudermilk, when we had him on the show yesterday, about Kenneth and why he's still over at the DOJ and should the DOJ fire him. Take a listen to clip 9 and his response to that question. But he's still at the DOJ right now. Are you concerned that Kenneth Corder, who is still employed by the DOJ, shouldn't be there in the first place?
It's just not there. I think that there are people within the federal government in a broad spectrum that we have to identify who these bad players are, and we need to get them out of there. We've got a situation right now, Brianna, that I've never seen in this country before. I mean, my father's a World War II veteran, a combat veteran, who's a medic. I grew up in a very patriotic family, a strong Christian household, brought up on strong morals, and one of those is that our government is the greatest government in the history of the world. It's a nation to be proud of. And we've gotten to a place because of things like this that Americans are not proud of their government anymore as much as they're scared of it. And we need to shift that back to give the American people something to be proud of in their country, not scared of their government. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson said that when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there's liberty. And we have to have more accountability. And that's why committees like the one I'm leading now and the one I led in the last Congress are so important. And Congress has to restructure the way that we do oversight and investigation. And that's one thing that I've been very proud of is I've had some of the media say that we've rewritten the book on how to do oversight and investigation. It's not just having a hearing here and there and then write a report and move on. It's sticking with it and getting to the truth, exposing the truth, and then working with the administration to hold people accountable. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that because it's really frustrating to hear these key people are still in positions of power. Yeah, let me jump in on that. Cause like, Sonia, I know Barry Loudermilk has a very tough job right now. The chairman, obviously running the J6 subcommittee, has to go back and try to find the things that were deleted by the original J6 committee. So he's got his work cut out for him there, but it's really annoying to sit back and to watch as the DOJ keeps these individuals employed and, is it going after them? I know there was an active push to keep him on, actually, Kenneth Corder. So what do you make of all of this? Again, we just talked about the FBI, but it's still happening over at the DOJ as well.
Well, I think it's very interesting with Representative Loudermilk when he talks about we have to identify these people, right? Well, we have identified these people. Mm-hmm. These people are identified now. The story that we're talking about with Christine Crowder, every individual that had wrongdoing from the Federal Air Marshal Service to TSA to the FBI has been identified. Right? There is no secret on who did what to Ms. Crowder and her husband. All of those individuals are still employed. Matter of fact, they've been promoted. Matter of fact, they're getting $40,000 special bonuses this year. TSA Administrator Brian Belcher, who targeted Tulsi Gabbard and targeted Christine Crowder, who is an SES, is going to receive a $40,000 performance bonus. I don't think that that in any way shows accountability after these individuals have been identified for violating, number one, their oath to the Constitution and to the country, and number two, targeting individuals for First Amendment free speech rights.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't. And, you know, I keep reaching out to the DOJ. I know they don't like my coverage, but they don't respond. This is why I praise DHS, because at least they respond, even if the story maybe not flattering for them. They still do have the cojones to respond, but sadly the DOJ is not the same. I mean, this is a very bad man and he's still holding his position. The fact that we have people like Todd Blanche who advocate for him, to me is very, very concerning. Sonia, when you look at the current situation that we're in right now, I know a lot of Americans at home are frustrated. I know a lot of your federal agents are as well. They're frustrated with a lot of the corruption still not being purged from a lot of these bureaus, these agencies. What glimpses of hope can we give the American people? Because the reality of it is from the outside looking in, there's not much when it comes to being positive and optimistic about the future. But what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to keep exposing and highlighting what's wrong. I mean, we're going to continue to expose within the Federal Air Marshal Service. We're going to continue to expose the fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption. We're going to name the people that are doing it. We're going to keep filing complaints with the DOJ, the DHS-OIG, civil complaints. We're going to keep doing what we do until this administration recognizes we know who the bad players and the bad actors are. All they have to do is put the experienced people in spots just as an advisor to get these people removed and get them out. So our hope is going to be that we will stay as vigorous as we have been for the last 5 years during 2026, and that we're finally going to see some actionables that we can be proud of, because these individuals are not going to be sitting in the government office collecting a government check and violating the rights of the American people.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonny, I'm with you on that one. I look forward to keeping up this fight. And I'm excited that we have some positive news for your federal air marshals, of course. That is something I know they're all looking forward to. Sonny Lobosco, you're doing incredible work, my friend, over at the Air Marshal National Council. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And God bless America. It was a good day today.
It was a very good day. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Folks, she's doing incredible work. And, one of the very few I could say is on our side, and it is always an honor to talk to Miss Sonny Lobosco, there, of course. We've got a great lineup of guests joining me in just a little bit, so buckle up, folks. More to discuss, a whole other 2 hours, jam-packed program for you. Mark Lucas, more positive news from him, the founder of Veteran Action, has been pushing, and you know, we talk about it on the show, he's been pushing for legislation to improve the lives of veterans. Well, good news for him, a group of Republicans have picked up his legislation, and now they are pushing it through. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk to him about Iran as well to get his take as to the recent news that Iran is apparently halting their executions after speaking with President Trump. That's apparently their commitment. I'll have him weigh in on that. Plus, we'll have Wood Lyman, who's down right now in Minneapolis. The poor guy was getting tear gassed yesterday with all the left-wing terrorists on the ground. But he's a real trooper, and he'll be joining us to discuss what's unraveling on the streets of Minneapolis. We'll also be joined by Steve Baker in just a few moments as well. Steve will be joining us actually in the third hour of the program. And I'm so excited to have Steve on. Why? Well, Steve wasn't doing too well a couple of weeks ago. He was having a heart issue. I know I posted that up. We all prayed for him. We were pulling for him. And, well, there's good news. There's good news. Steve Baker is back. That was a text I got from Steve yesterday. I'm back and ready to talk. So we got our man, our fighter. He is in this, and he will be bringing in the latest regarding the J6 pipe bomber suspect. It'll be an honor to have him on the program. And Mel Kay's jumping on, too, as well. We love some Mel Kay, of course. She is digging into the truth on so many issues, going after the CIA operatives. And that's what we're going to do with her in that segment as well. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we're giving away a free hat with every purchase over at the shop. Again, just a couple more hours left in that sale. You receive a free hat with every purchase, no minimum required, over at thealexjonesstore.com. Best part two, today's the last day in that giveaway to get 50 entries for every dollar you spend. You could win a F-250, it's a Ford Raptor, and possibly a black Ford F-250 plus $20,000 in cash. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, while supplies last.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And, yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Jumping on with us today. You know, I keep my eye on everything related to Plano. Many of you guys know I gave Plano police quite the beating, media beating, I should say, when I had an incident back in July. And as many of you guys know, because I talk about it quite often, it resulted in a man who had followed me into my building. And the only reason why he left was because he's a stranger again, was when I pulled a gun on him. He did leave then. But Plano PD, and I just got this message from a credible reporter, Logan Washburn over at the Dallas Express, but he just messaged me to let me know that Plano PD put up a social media post right now on Facebook, and they're trying to bring awareness to stalking, saying that it's not acceptable under any condition. It's just really funny given the fact that like I had to threaten to sue Plano PD to get them to give me the footage, to get them to go after the guy who followed me into my home. I just posted a little bit of it. Obviously you see it here, but the post itself, and I could read it to you, says stalking is not flattering or annoying. It's a crime in Texas. Well, for them, they don't actually think it's a crime because they told me that it was just flirting when they watched that video of a man following me into my apartment complex. So I just thought it was pretty funny, pretty funny. If this happens to you, it's not your fault. Trust your instincts. Well, my instincts told me to pull a gun. And then when I did just that, Plano PD actually called me and said, we don't want you to escalate an issue by pulling a firearm. So, just another reminder that Plano PD, an absolute disgrace of a police department. I actually was walking my dogs and there was a bit of a back and forth and a protest between some Muslims and a Christian group that was just there to confront them in Plano, Texas. And when I saw Plano PD pull up, they sent like literally six cops over there to break up the protest. But long story short, when I saw that the Plano PD got there, I was just on the sidelines watching. But then at that point, I had to inject myself. So I got over there, went over there and got in between it and then decided to just shout it out in front of Plano PD. What an awful job they've done. They're really just a horrible police department and they pretend to care, but they don't authentically care. But thankfully, we have a good prosecutor in Collin County who does take these things seriously and they are charging the man. But I thought you'd all get a good laugh at that. All right, we're standing by. President Trump is expected to speak in just a few moments and we will bring that to you once that begins. But like I said, Mark Lucas is going to be joining the show in a moment as well. And he's got a big victory that he wants to celebrate on the program today because he's been pushing for legislation to make the lives of our vets a little bit easier. And a group of Republicans just picked it up and pushed it forward yesterday, which we're very excited to announce. So we will bring that to you. I've also got my eyes on several really important stories that we're going to break down to you on the show, like one person who's now banned from the UK. That is insane. Oh, I also want to do a little Ben Crump acknowledgement. Ben Crump is trying to spin a shooting of an off-duty ICE officer who shot and killed a man. Now, Ben Crump wants you to believe this was just a father who loved his family, who was gunned down by ICE. Well, shocker, that's not the case. We'll bring the details on all of that, and we're not going to spin it for you. This man was not a hero. In fact, if you or I were to shoot an AK into the air, guess what? We'd probably end up dead too. Especially if you're ignoring police when they're telling you or law enforcement to drop your weapon. Yeah. Things happen when you play stupid games. So we'll play that clip for you, of course, because you got to know what's going Over on the left side of things, the spin. Also, there's another 2A victory, which we look forward to telling you about in just a moment as well. So buckle up, more to discuss in a second. In the meantime, head on over to alexjonesstore.com. Again, a couple more hours left to win a free, or sorry, to get a free hat with every purchase. No minimum required. Then there's only a day left, last day, to get 50 times the entries for every dollar you spend over at thealexjonesstore.com. You could possibly win the F-250 Ford Raptor and the black Ford F-250 plus $20,000 in cash over at thealexjonesstore.com. Put some money into your pocket. You support us, we support you, with a shot at winning potentially 20 grand over at thealexjonesstore.com. Also, if you haven't downloaded the app, make sure you do so, alexjonesapp.com right now.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all here for the second hour of the program. All right, President Trump obviously is trying his best to save those in Iran right now. We're taking to the streets to protest the regime, and it's been absolutely devastating. We've been hearing mixed reports regarding how many have been killed. And obviously one is one too many, but we're hearing numbers in the hundreds. We're also hearing numbers in the thousands. And it's very hard to get an exact number. But the reality of it is they have scheduled hundreds of people to be executed for just disrespecting Allah. I mean, that's literally what they're doing. And President Trump warned them. He gave a very stern warning. If they do go out there and execute the list of protesters that they were planning on hanging, that his administration will take action. Well, when you're not a coward and you speak from a place of power, you get some action. And according to the White House, Iran now is saying that they're not going to be executing about 800 people. They've actually halted those executions. Take a listen to clip 11.
And the president received a message, as he revealed to all of you and the whole world yesterday, that the killing and the executions will stop. And the president understands today that 800 executions that were scheduled and supposed to take place yesterday were halted. And so the president and his team are closely monitoring this situation, and all options remain on the table for the president.
That's good news. Very good news. Now, we're all just kind of sitting around seeing what's going to happen next. But obviously, if this is true, then this is a great step forward. Joining me to discuss is Mark Lucas. He has incredible news for us in just a few moments. We're going to get to this first. He's the founder of Veteran Action, and he fights for our vets. And, you know, Mark, when I saw this story, I was excited because we keep hearing these stories about these young people who are being arrested, they're being detained, and they're being potentially executed. They were set to be executed. I know there was one young man whose face has been plastered all over the internet because his family only got 10 minutes to say goodbye to him. And it sounds like he might still be alive, although they have not presented any proof that he is still alive. We are at least hopeful. But what do you make of this? Because obviously President Trump came out and said if he finds out that anyone is executed, he's going to be going after them. There are mixed reports coming out that some people have been killed, obviously. But now all of these 800 people so far who are set to be executed, their executions have been halted. What do you make of it?
I see a president here with President Trump that actually commands respect on the global stage. You know, President Joe Biden, nobody respected him. People running all over America. But President Trump believes in peace through strength. And that first Iran strike and now the arrest of Maduro shows people around the world that when President Trump says something, he means it. And President Trump does not want to go to war with Iran. I want to remind people, particularly in the conservative movement, that have been, I guess, just upset maybe by some of the foreign policy moves by President Trump. I want to remind them that President Trump, back in 2016, when he was a candidate for president, called Iraq a big, fat mistake. That message resonated with me and veterans all across the country. So President Trump is a negotiator in chief. We see that he will always try to pursue peace, but there is a line that he will make a decision and say, hey, I'm willing to take action. And we just haven't seen that with people like Barack Obama or Joe Biden. People didn't respect them. And I don't believe in these arbitrary red lines. The failed foreign policy establishment tries to use red lines to box in presidents to really try to engage in their foreign policy objectives. But we've seen that President Trump is deliberately unpredictable, and he uses that to America's advantage. So I'm praying for the people in Iran, but I also understand that American veterans, we would more prefer to defend Minneapolis than Tehran. You know, we have a lot of work to do here in the United States to continue to secure our border, to secure our cities. And you mentioned earlier in Plano, Texas, we have Islam that's infiltrating the United States of America. So I think it's good to have a president who is respected on the world stage. I think Iran should tread carefully, but we also have a lot of priorities here at home.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be the focus too. I think a lot of Americans are getting really frustrated with the president because he's focused on foreign policies. And although he's done great things here on the mainland, I will say that, we are seeing a lot of foreign focus, and I think people are a little bothered by that. But I also want to drive home the point that you just brought up. You know, when we look at what's going on in Minneapolis, I think a lot of Americans are really angry because, you know, they're seeing a lot of threats being made, but we're watching as these left-wing terrorists. I mean, there's no other way to look at it when they're setting these cars on fire, when they're vandalizing cars, and they're trying to intimidate law enforcement, who are just simply trying to step in and sweep away all of these predators that have been brought into our country, these violent criminals. I mean, the reality is, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but I receive updates daily from DHS as to who they've picked up in regards to these ICE raids, and they are constantly, every day, and they are, and I know it's not me over-exaggerating this, they're getting rapists, predators, child predators, and murderers off of our streets. And the reality of it is the rest of us support what they're doing because we know that it's actually work that's meant to keep the people safe in this country, residents, citizens safe. But then we see that they're getting away with this. These left-wing terrorists are taking to the street. They're intimidating law enforcement. You know, the president is threatening to implement, obviously, the Insurrection Act. Do you think it's long overdue? Should we start, you know, going about that? Or do you think we should hold back and wait a little bit because you don't want to see the federal government stepping in on that?
I 100% support instituting the Insurrection Act. You know, Governor Tim Walz came out earlier this week encouraging President Trump to turn down the temperature. Well, that's gaslighting. Governor Walz is a stolen valor coward. He abandoned his unit in the Minnesota National Guard before they went over to Afghanistan. He was a sergeant major who also claimed to have carried a weapon in battle. Walz is a coward, and we will break the backs of these protesters and these people who are breaking the law and bringing this violence and terror to Minneapolis. So I encourage President Trump to move forward with instituting Insurrection Act. I'd love to see him deploy Ranger Regiment and Delta operators, you know, those same units that suffered in Mogadishu during Black Hawk Down. I'd love them to be able to go in there and clean up those streets.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that we do just that because we don't want to see, and this is what they're intentionally doing over there in Minneapolis and Minnesota right now. They are trying their best to turn this into the 2020 BLM riots, and they were able to get away with it when they spun the whole George Floyd narrative. I mean, we saw an ICE agent, they almost tried to kill him the other day, the three individuals who decided to hit him over the head with a shovel. I mean, the fact that two people came out of their home to defend an illegal is insane, but the fact that they're all bold enough to sit there and assault a federal agent is crazy. But as soon as that story came out that one of them was shot in the leg, the media was spinning it, they were pushing it out there. And it's enraging, Mark. It really is enraging. And I feel for these federal agents when it comes to just trying to implement the law, trying to carry out the law and trying to do it as peaceful as possible. I mean, they can't because, again, Democrats are continuing to incite their own, and it needs to be addressed. But we've got a big victory, and I want you to talk about this because I know you work very hard, very, very hard over at Veteran Action to make the lives of our vets a little bit easier, to make sure that all the resources they need are given out. And I saw that a group of GOP senators have recently pushed forward, including obviously Senator Blackburn, Marsha Blackburn, a piece of legislation that you've been pushing for. Tell us a little bit about it.
I want to personally thank Senator Marsha Blackburn and also Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks for introducing the Veterans Bill of Rights Act of 2026. This is such an important piece of legislation to protect the rights of veterans that we earned. You know, we've seen over the last few years that Joe Biden has been undermining the victories that President Trump had for veterans. President Trump passed the VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act of 2017. And he also passed the Mission Act, which would give veterans choice in their health care. And the reason why the Veterans Bill of Rights is so important is that veterans are being lied to about the rights that they have earned. You have VA bureaucrats who are trying to keep veterans stuck in a failed bureaucracy when they have the right to go outside and access health care in their communities. So these Bill of Rights, when passed, will be published all across VA facilities. You'll be required by law for VA officials to communicate the rights that veterans have. And if you look at the sponsors of this bill, you've got Marsha Blackburn in the state of Tennessee with a heavy veteran population. You got former Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy up in Montana. You also have Tom Tillis in North Carolina, the home of Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune, and Tommy Tuberville down in Alabama. The Senate sponsors are very serious champions for veterans. They understand this issue. And then Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks, she represents me here in Iowa. She served over 25 years in the Army. She's a medical doctor. She understands the reforms that we need to bring to the VA. So this is an important first step, and I look forward to getting this passed and having President Trump sign this bill.
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on this, but this is a great one, and we're really excited for it. You know, when you spoke with the senator, obviously, to push this forward, does she think this has the votes to be able to be pushed through legislatively and to make this law?
Well, my group, Veteran Action, is going to make sure they do have the votes because we have the Veteran Action Center where people can go to veteranaction.org, click on the Take Action button, and they can contact their lawmakers via phone call, email, and they can post on social media, encouraging them and demanding them really to pass the Veterans Bill of Rights. It's the same platform I use to help confirm Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War is a proven platform, and we're going to really go to work on behalf of Senator Blackburn and Marionette Miller Meeks to get this across the finish line.
Well, Mark, we look forward to following it, of course, and having you back on when it goes through. And you're doing a great job over at Veteran Action. So we appreciate you fighting for our vets, of course. So, Mark, thank you as always. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we are, trying to cover some positive things. And this is a positive story. You know, Sonia Labosco got a bunch of positive news from her, as well as Mark Lucas. And I'm told also, by the way, that the FBI is going to be giving me a statement in regards to the story that we gave you just a few minutes ago about the new deputy director. They might be disputing a little bit of the claims. Again, I went through his LinkedIn page. It seemed to have matched up. But, you know, I always reach out for comment. We'll be fair and balanced. When the FBI does give us a statement back, I will bring that to you. And I give you the full comment, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. Well, let's talk about other things. Let's keep it on this ICE topic. I want to get to what we've seen unravel over these last few days. Now, I think Twitter might be actually down right now. Kind of looks like it's down, but I think we should be good on everything else, though. Folks, do we have the VOs and everything? So if I start pulling, okay, cool. So because I want to get to this, because Julio Rojas released this video yesterday on X. And it's like this crazy woman, her name is Jennifer Cruz, and she's being accused of harassing ICE agents. That's what she's currently accused of. And I don't know if she did anything, but just based off this video, she doesn't seem like a very friendly woman. Oh, no. Yeah, that might be assault. That might be assault. Get her, boys. That is an upper body workout for that gentleman. So they're trying to pull her into the vehicle, obviously. According to the Florida AG, he says that this is Jennifer Cruz of Jacksonville, Florida. Jennifer disagrees with ICE enforcement and the immigration enforcement and decided to commit a few felonies by getting out of her car, punching a trooper in the face. Those are the allegations he's making. But then he says, you know, but unlike Minnesota, We don't put up with that crap. Not today, Jennifer. Not today. So she's been apprehended, charged. That is a serious upper body workout. Credit for him, man. You can't have these guys here who can't bench. I mean, that's got to be at least a $100. And she is smirking. She is smiling, kicking the camera. What an animal. Jennifer Cruz, I hope you get the help that you desperately, desperately need, of course. All right, folks, President Trump is speaking right now. I wanted to take us there because I think we might hear a couple of important things. We might hear a couple of important things. The president right now is speaking at a rural healthcare roundtable. Take a listen.
American history. This is the big one. We're delighted to be joined by many incredible members of the healthcare community, including doctors, nurses, and pharmacists from all across America. We're also very happy to have with us some very talented people. A man who is really good at this, extremely non-controversial, which is, I wanted somebody non-controversial. So I chose Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. to head the whole shebang up. And he's also happens to be a great guy. Brooke Rollins, who's doing a fantastic job at agriculture, and thank you. And how are the prices coming?
They're coming, they're coming down.
Don't forget, we inherited a mess.
Sure,
remember eggs? They were up 4 times higher than they ever were. And in my first day, they said, what are you going to do about eggs? I said, I didn't cause the problem. We didn't cause. We inherited a mess, but the prices are coming down.
Yes, sir. Wholesale prices are down 86%. Retail a little bit less than that, but yes, you're making America good. Affordable again.
With you in charge, I have no doubt, and yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a really good man, a really brilliant guy, Dr. Mehmet Oz. Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Dr. Oz. And thank you also to Governor Jim Pillen, Senator Dan Sullivan, and Representatives Rob Bresnahan, Mike Lawler, John McGuire, and Nick Begich. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it very much. Now we have other congressmen here, I see, and a couple of senators, and we appreciate everybody being here. Everyone wants to be a part of this. It's very, so important. It's maybe, I don't know, for many people, there's nothing more important. I would say maybe defense. You know, we need defense. Yeah, and we need offense, too, by the way. As part of the great big beautiful bill, we're increased, and we have increased funding for the health care by an unprecedented $50 billion. That's rural health care. Nobody thought that was going to happen, and we got it done. So we have rural health care. For those that were trying to make a case that we weren't taking care of the rural community, I'm all about the rural community. We won the rural communities by numbers that nobody's ever won them before, and we're taking care of those great people. So we already did this. We increased funding for rural health care by an unprecedented record-setting $50 billion over 5 years, which will benefit Americans in all 50 states. And this made possible and was made possible by cutting massive waste, fraud, and abuse from Medicaid and reinvesting those funds to revitalize hospitals and our cherished rural communities and hospitals in rural communities. And I want to say, with all of the fraud that we're seeing in Minnesota and California and other places, I actually think that if we do an unbelievable job, you could almost balance your budget, Kevin. If you take a look at the kind of numbers you're talking about, nobody ever saw anything like it. They're all corrupt politicians, from the governor of Minnesota to the governor of California to the everybody. They're just corrupt politicians. And you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in fraud. Waste, fraud, and abuse, but in fraud, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. Under the Unaffordable Care Act, which is Obamacare, it's called the Unaffordable. It is unaffordable. Remember that. Rural hospitals and communities were devastated by soaring costs, and that continues. Despite colossal increases in government spending since Obamacare was passed, only 7% of the annual Medicaid spending on rural hospitals has gone to hospitals. So there's only a very little. They didn't care. Obama didn't care about the rural community, to be totally blunt. What he did care about is insurance companies. And this was a bill to make insurance companies wealthy. And they did. They made insurance companies very wealthy. I would say they don't like me too much. because they spent hundreds of billions of dollars, and we're going to have that money spent to the people and given to the people, not we're going to circumvent the insurance companies. Partially as a result, rural health care facilities have suffered from low occupancy rates, workforce shortages, and failing programs that put Band-Aids, literally put Band-Aids over the problems in those communities, and we're not going to have that. We're taking great care of them. With the Rural Health Transformation Program, we are getting rural communities the health support they need, and we're getting it immediately. These funds will go to empowering rural hospitals, strengthening their workforce, modernizing facilities and technology, and ensuring that rural Americans get world-class health care in their own community, right smack in their own community, like they've never had it before. And they've been hurt very badly by the Unaffordable Care Act. Every single Democrat in Congress voted against the Lifeline for rural communities. And I hope everyone knows this, and this is not about elections, but I hope you remember this in the midterms, because the Democrats are just so horrible toward the rural community. But I want to take a moment to thank the incredible House and Senate Republicans who worked so hard on making this historic investment possible. That's what they did, and they did work hard. I don't think, got a Democrat vote, did we? Did we get one Democrat vote? We got all Republican votes. It was an amazing feat, and I want to thank Mike, our Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and John Thune for really doing a great job. It was tough. We have small majorities, and I want to thank the congressmen that are here for doing, in particular, for working so hard and getting this done. Yesterday, I also announced our framework to lower health care prices for all Americans, including those in rural America, and we're calling it the Great Health Care Plan. You know, we had to come up with a name, and everybody wanted to say, oh, well, can we put something about lowering costs, because we're lowering costs very substantially. So I had Bobby and I had Oz. We had everybody in there. We had a whole group of people and were trying to come up with. So we're saying the cost reduction plan that gives you good health care. And I said, it's too long. It's not going to sell. I said that we had more plans, and they wanted to get the words cost reduction in their law, especially you. They wanted cost reduction in, and then they wanted great health care in. I said, look, you can have one or the other, but it gets too long. We're talking about the name of a plan. So we got it down to 7 or 8 words, and which is far too long. Nobody can remember that much. And I said, how about just call it, because this is the great health care plan. Now, a great plan has to be cost-effective, otherwise it can't be a great plan. That's the way I looked at it. So we have a very glamorous name. It's called the Great Health Care Plan, not the Unaffordable Care Act. I don't like that name. This is called officially the Great Health Care Plan. That means low price and great health care. So you're going to have, at a lower price, great health care. First, our proposal codifies the massive discounts on prescription drugs that my administration is achieving through our most favored nation provisions. Okay, we can go into this. We can go into this for hours, but the bottom line is we'll be paying the lowest price of any nation in the world. Whoever's paying the lowest, we match it. This could have been done years ago. I was going to do it in my first administration. But when COVID came toward the end, I said, I can't believe it wasn't the right. It wasn't exactly a good time to be doing it. But I said, why isn't this, folks?
Because we'll bring it to you if something important does take place. We'll keep our eye on it. But of course, the president's speaking right now. And obviously a lot happening there. All right. So we are going to be on the ground in just a few moments in Minneapolis. Obviously, we got Wood Lyman there from Border Hawk. He's going to bring the very latest. He's been getting tear gas with all these protesters because he's so, I guess you could say, embedded at this point. I mean, he's on the ground. He's doing the reporting and he's doing an incredible job. So we want to make sure that we bring you the very latest in regards to that. Plus, the FBI is responding to my report I broke to you just a few moments ago on Sonny Lobosco in regards to their new deputy director. I'll bring you those details in a moment. So buckle up. We got more to discuss. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you make a purchase over there, you're going to get a free hat. No minimum required. A couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you do just that.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you are joining us. All right, the FBI's new The FBI has a new deputy director, Christopher Ray, Raw. Christopher Raw, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Well, Christopher Raw is the individual now running the second highest, running the FBI right now. Now, there was a lot of controversy about this individual because he came from the New York field office. He has since been promoted. And a lot of people were circulating things on X yesterday in regards to his work background. Now, he did previously work over at the Houston field office. Now, the Houston field office, like I said earlier in the show, was the office going after a woman named Christine Crowder. Now, the FBI has since, through FBI Director Kash Patel, called out that investigation into Crowder because she was wrongfully targeted, even though she wasn't even at the Capitol on January 6th. But over 2 years of an investigation looking into her, they suddenly realized, oh, crap, we've got the wrong photo. So again, this woman was added to a terror watch list. It's a big story, considering the fact they had no evidence connecting this woman to the Capitol riots that you saw, or the Capitol events that you saw that day. Sorry, riots is very corporate media of me to say. But interesting enough, as many of you guys heard with Sonia Labosco, we broke down that report, and I did reach out to the FBI for comment. The FBI, not the most friendliest agency when I reach out for a comment, did give us this statement back, claiming that the new deputy director had no involvement in Crowder's investigation. Then when I asked them specifically in regards to how many of the employees, the FBI agents that were involved in Crowder's case, how many of them have been fired? I didn't ask for names, just wanted a number. They told me, we have no additional information, no additional comment. They were going to give me. So the FBI, not very friendly, as one would assume. But again, this is really no surprise there. All right, let's take you to Minneapolis right now, because with Lyman, he is one of the incredible reporters over at Border Hawk. He's on the ground, and he's trying his very best to cover the far left-wing terrorists that are taken to the streets. And, you know, Wid, it's exciting to have you on the show. I know normally you've got the cushy job of being over at the White House, but they've seemed to send you over to Minneapolis right now. And I know you've been hit with some tear gas because these protesters seem to get a little crazy over there. So break down what you're seeing on the ground in Minneapolis right now.
Brianna, it's good to be with you. I must have offended someone. It's 20 degrees and starting to snow now. We're outside of the federal building. This is the Whipple building. This is where DHS and ICE are sort of housed, where they conduct most of their operations. They leave this building and go out into the community here in the Twin Cities and conduct their enforcement operations. We're hearing that there's thousands of agents on the ground now, one of the largest DHS operations in U.S. history. And we've been here, you know, about 24 hours now, but protests have gone on at this building for over a week. So we're seeing groups of hundreds, if not close to 1,000 protesters outside. They are attacking vehicles. They are semi-storming the entrance up front. They're blocking roads and causing multiple kinds of mayhem pretty much all day long yesterday. We were out here a good 12 hours, and they were busy the entire time. However, a little quiet this morning. They must have slept in.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a rough one. I'm sitting back and I'm watching you as you're filming all the tear gas that's being dropped on these folks. So, you know, when we look at the corporate media coverage and all of this, they tell us that these are really peaceful protests. What are you seeing though on the ground?
It's always a mixed bag. You know, I would say a good 2/3 of people just stand here and yell obscenities, and then a good 1/3 of them are conducting, you know, unlawful activities. They're opening federal agents' doors as they're exiting and leaving. They're throwing bottles and objects at riot police and other federal officials that are there. They are stopping traffic. I mean, last night, one of the more jarring things. So this is the main entrance right here. And then in this direction is a side road. And they were stopping everyone, asking if they were Nazis, if they were ICE, and blocking them if they deemed that you were a federal agent. And last night it got very harrowing. About 20 of them descended on one van, and one of the agents inside the vehicle actually drew his service weapon and brandished it at the protester. So, you know, that is not a peaceful situation to me. It could have been very violent, very bad. And it was.
Yeah. Well, we actually saw that footage too. We have it up on the screen right now. I believe Fox grabbed this one, or at least was able to get it. And it's concerning that he had to do this. But I mean, we all know why he had to do this. And there's no reason for these protesters to be gathering outside of a federal agent's vehicle like that. They're trying to intimidate. They're trying to push back. When you talk to these protesters, though, are they educated in regards to what actually took place that day when Renee Good was shot? Because it seems like a lot. You know, we have this footage. We see what we saw unravel that day. And there's two different perspectives. We're watching the same video, and they seem to think that it was unjustifiable, the shooting, While the rest of us are seeing a federal agent being hit by a car, we see the reports that he was dealing with internal bleeding after all of that. And we're hearing that he shot her four times. So what's their justification for being there? Because the video is telling.
Yeah, you know, this is a question of narratives, and this is why it's important to have people on the ground, people like yourself, your audience, paying attention to all the facts, because this is a question of narratives. You know, we're seeing the footage and having one opinion. They're seeing it and seeing a federal occupation of their city and an unjustified shooting of this person and a totally innocent. So they're viewing this in a totally different framing, totally different lens. Even yesterday, we had a chief of some variety from the Lakota Nation come and try to get some of their members out of the facility here. And everybody was totally in favor of saying, well, we're on stolen land, so it doesn't make any difference. And in that situation, that's kind of how it goes. So I think there's a question of narratives. It's a question of, you know, one side is just viewing things very, very differently. And they're very excited about it. I mean, it's not warm and they're still out here.
Yeah. No, they are still out there. And I saw there was a clip of Laura Ingraham being on the ground for a little bit. And one of the protesters admitted that they were being paid right now. Are these all paid protesters, or do you think this is an authentic organic gathering of folks?
I can't speak to the paid part. I've never encountered anyone that has said that to me, but I will say these people are diehards. I mean, it's supposed to be below zero tomorrow, and everyone on the ground is saying, we're going to be here. You know, we love the cold. We're totally in favor. So I think you're seeing a lot of diehard militants out here that are in favor of whatever it is that they're believing. Some of them could be paid. I have seen people here that I saw in D.C. and in Miami for protests. So, I mean, suspect for sure, but they might say the same thing about me, so who knows?
They might. You know, the other day when someone did accuse me of being, now that I'm credentialed to cover the Pentagon, they did refer to me as a CIA asset. So I don't want to throw shade on anyone, because these claims are very loose and people do throw them out there all the time. But again, it's just interesting to see how they're able to just appear so quickly at these protests, and all of a sudden it's the same characters all the time. You know, what we heard the president yesterday threaten the Insurrection Act to institutional, to, you know, obviously to enforce it, to institute it. What do you think that's going to do on the ground right now? Do you think that would actually help?
It's hard to say from a tactics perspective. I will say that every time DHS comes with some kind of force, that really riles everyone up. So if we saw a massive military presence, I think in the Twin Cities, you would see a pretty good uprising. And it's just a question of whether or not that's good or bad. But I do think that something needs to be done. I mean, you have just regular employees leaving this building, and they are under constant harassment to and from. They have to leave and enter at very high speeds. They have their doors ripped open, as I mentioned, bottles thrown at them, their cars attacked. So something needs to be done in that context, no question. So what would that even look like, to send in more officials and troops? I don't even know. I'm not sure we've really seen that, but it could be a very intense situation.
Yeah, well, we're going to have our eye on it. I know you have a crazy weekend planned probably ahead of all of this. So, Wood Lyman, thank you for all the incredible work that you're doing on the ground.
Last thing, I will tell you this. There are a lot of militant people in town, and it's hard to get coffee without some kind of messaging on the cup. So, and I didn't get any ice in it. They didn't even put ice in it. So
they really meant what they meant when they said F ice, huh? Mm-hmm. Not fans. You should just ask for a cup of ice next time.
It was good coffee, though, I won't lie. So,
well, that's the one good thing that they're able to do, right? They're able to make our coffee. And listen, if there's not a purple-headed weirdo in the back of like a Starbucks making your coffee, it's probably not going to be that good. So it's the
and
one
I don't
good
want
thing.
It.
Yeah, I don't want it. It's their one contribution to this country, and we'll take it. We'll take it. Wood Lyman, you're doing an incredible job over in Minneapolis. Folks, if you're not following on X, I don't know what you're doing. Give him a follow, Wid_Lyman on X. And you are with Border Hawk. And we appreciate all of your coverage. Normally, folks, he is the White House senior correspondent. So he's a cushier gig than being in like negative 20 degree weather. But, you know, they're trying to make him a little bit stronger. So they sent him out into the field to do just that. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Wid.
Thanks for the time. God bless.
God bless you as well, my friend. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. I wanted to shift your attention over to something that will give you a good chuckle. As many of you guys know, Ben Crum, total race baiting. My mom's listening, so I can't curse. Race baiter. We'll just go with that. Well, there's an interesting story that dropped. It has to do with a man who was shot by an off-duty ICE, I believe it was ICE, officer. The entire story itself sounds crazy until you read Bed Crump and what his spin on it. I mean, his spin is insane. But first, I want you to listen to how the mainstream media is covering it in clip 8 because it's very telling when you listen and how they're trying to get the community all riled up about this story. Take a listen.
Keith Porter's mother, overcome with grief at the candlelight vigil in Carson where she raised him. This is the second memorial in a week for the father of two shot and killed in Northridge by an off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve.
Took our loved one from us. You murdered our loved one, and it's not fair. It's not right.
According to the Department of Homeland Security, the off-duty ICE agent heard gunfire near his apartment and went to check it out. That's when DHS says the officer encountered Porter holding a long rifle. Advocates say Porter's gunfire that night was his way of observing the holiday.
Well, yes, it was illegal, but at the end of the day, it's American tradition.
I'm 80 years old. It's happened as long as I can remember. That's one of the things that happens. People shoot guns as part of fireworks and celebration of the new year.
But the agent allegedly ordered Porter to put down the weapon. And when he didn't comply, DHS says the off-duty officer fired his service gun. The agency claims Porter fired 3 rounds at the off-duty agent before he was killed.
This is a human rights issue.
The 43-year-old's death touching complete strangers. Judy Vaughn from Mid-City drove 20 miles to Carson for his memorial instead of marching at an anti-ICE protest closer to home.
We all need to recognize the shared humanity and come together. And I just wanted to be here to be a part of this group saying his life is valuable, his life matters, and we need to speak out in as many ways as possible.
While LAPD investigates what led up to Porter's final moments, people here want the off-duty ICE officer identified, arrested, and charged.
Hurt, lost. As my brother, he was my life. He was my kid's life. He was the life of our family.
Organizers say on Tuesday that they will attend LAPD's police commission meeting to petition the chief to make Keith Porter's death investigation transparent. Organizers also acknowledge the shooting death of Renee Good, who was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minnesota. In Carson, Tim Pulliam, ABC 7.
Okay, so did you see the spin
news
there? Did you see the spin? Did you like that woman? She traveled to be there. Because white guilt, that's why. She traveled. Isn't it crazy how liberals suddenly, they support gun ownership? Oh, it's a tradition. You get drunk on New Year's, you go outside into your densely packed neighborhood, apartment complex, and you shoot a couple up to the sky. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Oh, yeah. An ICE agent, off-duty ICE agent, told him to drop his firearm and to stop doing that, and he decided not to. But he's innocent. He's innocent. And if you're Ben Crump, you know, you likely see money signs when you hear the story. When you do stupid things, you get a golden casket. And Ben Crump is your advocate. But Ben Crump coming out on X and saying that Kenneth Porter Jr. was a father of two. Son, a brother, whose life was stolen by a off-duty ICE agent. And his family is gathering now to grief. Well, you know, maybe his family should have gathered and told him that was a really dumb idea. Maybe you shouldn't own a firearm. I don't even know if he legally owned. Maybe you just shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. Folks, this is all just another IQ test. When you do stupid things, things happen to you. When someone tells you to stop doing what you're doing and you decide not to, I'm going to keep shooting into the sky. I'm not going to drop my firearm. Well, guess what? Adios. I lack empathy, but we all know that Ben Crump is going to go after him and sue. No surprise there. No surprise there at all. All right, let's keep going at it. In clip 6 is a crazy liberal woman, and I'm only going to show you like 30 seconds of it because the rest of it's just unbearable. But these liberals are just out of their mind. I mean, I don't even know if they're really politically motivated. They're just mentally ill. And in clip 6, you're going to see address that. Take a look.
I just feel like as white people, we got to step the fuck up. yesterday, 10 years ago, 10 years before that, 10 years before that, 10 years before that. Just our fucking neighbors are at risk and we need to be in the streets every day. If it's not you today and you take a break, somebody else, you know, get them out there, take their place. We gotta do this in waves. We gotta protect ourselves. We gotta protect our neighbors. But it's time for white people to step the fuck up. They've been sleeping.
Yeah. White people, it's your job now to step up. Go take your kitchen pan, attach it to your chest, and go out there. Do something. Do something. I don't know. I thought that was AI at first, but I was told, no, it's not AI. It's a real person. And I'm hoping it's AI. I'm hoping it's not real. I'm hoping it's not real. Folks, there's only so many lows this country could hit in having a woman who's coming out with like a broiler pan attached to her chest. As if she's a patriot going to war with the federal government. Yeah. Yeah. If a civil war breaks out, you do not want that woman in the front of your line. Or unless you want to sacrifice her. I don't know why the left does this, though. I don't know why the left does this. It's quite obvious this is a person who is not well. Not well at all. Send her out there. The broiler pan. What a fighter she is. What a fighter. Oh, man. It's just so crazy to me. It's just so crazy. But this is what's going on. These are their fighters. These are their patriots. These are their patriots. Out of shape. Out of shape. Crazy. Unmental. I mean, unstable, I should say. Mentally ill women. And then just made of five men, those two. But no surprise there, folks. All right, let's switch up gears too. Actually, you know what? Let's go to this. I'll let it play out for a little bit. Sean Hannity got into a little bit of a heated debate with Ron. I'm gonna mispronounce this one too. Khan. The Dem from California who, you know, sometimes he does do some cool things. I like some of the things he does, but most of the time he is just aligning with the liberal hacks within his movement. And, you know, Sean Hannity tried to give him the opportunity to speak. And I hate to play Sean Hannity clips. I'm not really a fan, but this is a pretty solid one in clip 7 when they go back and forth. We'll let it play out for a bit. Take a listen.
I would hope you'd agree. I hope the president, if he's watching,
I wish
would
it agree. Didn't happen.
Why don't we de-escalate? Why don't we lower the temperature in this country, lower the rhetoric, figure out how we enforce okay. immigration laws, but oh, not you have want ICE to agents, get,
so
but,
you're
but
like,
not
you're
have
like
ICE
the
agents
mayor.
Shooting Americans.
You want, how about you let ICE do their job and you support law enforcement and enforcing the
if
laws of this land?
If they do it constitutionally.
You are, wait a minute. You are supposed, well, they're doing it constitutionally.
They're going in Americans'
homes.
The problem
is, your party is out there demonizing them, calling them Nazis, Gestapo, fascists, and terrorists.
That word.
And that
I've
has created
that
your party and you up to tonight. Never, I looked, I've never seen you condemn the rhetoric of the leaders of your party calling them Nazi, Gestapo, fascist.
Have
and
you
what that is
Sean
doing
the,
is inciting
about,
people.
What, have you
that
condemned
is inciting
the,
and dehumanizing these officials,
Sean,
and they're now being attacked tonight.
Have you condemned
they're
the
being
rhetoric
attacked.
Of, have you condemned the rhetoric of Republicans who call immigrants rapists and murderers? I mean, come on, there's excessive rhetoric
well,
on both sides. My
I
view
just,
is, let's tone it down.
Some of them are murderers and rapists, and you didn't get off your ass when it came to Lake and Riley and Jocelyn Nunn, Gary,
because
when you were in at a joint session speech.
Because
why not?
Because I believe that the ones who are criminals should be deported, but not that's
you could have stood up for their families, and you should be able to put out the names of the people that were murdered. You should care about getting rid of pedophiles, murderers, rapists, traffickers,
I care
gang
most
members.
About the pedophiles, the Epstein
last
files.
Night. An officer was assaulted. Last night, an officer was assaulted by three illegals from Venezuela. Do you even give a rip? Do you even care?
Of course I do. Of course that.
And you don't think it's connected to the rhetoric of your party leaders? You don't think any of that's connected?
Sean, what I want to do is say that as Americans, we need to come together. There's been heated rhetoric on both sides. Let's de-escalate it. Let's understand that most people who are law enforcement agents.
This? Let them do their job.
But do it constitutionally. Do you want them
going
to be
constitutionally?
Okay, let me ask you this, Sean. You don't think they have done any violation in terms of the way they're acting with American citizens? You really? You
know, I would argue in law enforcement.
As you hear the music playing in the background, I can tell you as a producer, that's normally like time to wrap. Hurry up, we got to go. This one dragged on for a little bit longer, but I think it's really interesting on how Democrats, to deflect from the actual conversation, will pull the Epstein files and use that. It's not okay to do. They're doing it anyway. Why don't you take a look at this video over here that we recently got a hold of. This has to do with the Texas father who is now under arrest. The video is actually really sad because I guess the father thought he was protecting his daughter. But actually, he did the exact opposite. A Texas father allegedly gunned down an innocent Amazon manager who was spending Christmas away from his family after mistaking him for who he believed had kidnapped his daughter. Jonathan Matta is now in custody, according to them, because he's accused of being the man in this video who you see aiming his pistol at a fleeing SUV outside of a Shell gas station in Houston, Texas, and unloading. He killed a 25-year-old. And this happened around 1 a.m. on December 25th. The tragic chain of events began when Meta and his wife received a frantic call from their 19-year-old daughter who said she'd been attacked by her boyfriend. And it appears that the father, who is obviously just trying to do his daughter, what was right by his daughter, ended up gunning down the wrong man. So since now, he has been arrested. And he's been charged with the homicide. It's obviously a very sad, sad story. But again, something to just be mindful of, folks, because if you would have gotten the right one, then maybe you could entertain that argument. But unfortunately, he killed an innocent man, and that is unacceptable. I don't know if you saw this 2A victory. You know, the gun owner of America is doing incredible work. They actually have a recent victory in regards to being able to ship your firearms through the United States Postal Service. And the Postal Service has had these rules. I think it's over 30 years they've had this rule where you can't do that. Well, the DOJ now actually just put out a memo, and this is following the lawsuit that was put up by GOA, has now just filed this memo. And it's a letter to prosecutors letting them know that regulation from the United States Postal Service is unconstitutional in their eyes now. That's the DOJ saying it. And the DOJ is now telling them, you know, not to prosecute, obviously, but most importantly, they're going to actually tell the Postal Service that they actually should not be doing that with their regulations, that they deem it as unconstitutional. So that's incredible, given the fact that I think this has been a regulation for over 2 decades now. And thanks to this lawsuit that was brought forward by GOA, this has now this is the DOJ admitting that it's unconstitutional. And so hopefully that will change soon. But that is a big victory, a very big victory. All right, folks, buckle up. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program in just a moment. Steve Baker standing by. He'll be joining the show. New report just dropped moments ago over at the Blaze. He's going to join us to break it down. He'll also give us a little bit of a health update, as well as Mel Kay will be joining us in the third hour of the program. And, you know, I always look forward to talking to my girl Mel Kay, of course. She had a lot to sound off on, and we look forward to having her on in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We got that free hat that we're giving you for every purchase. No minimum required over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're looking to get a free hat, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And again, every purchase you make, you get, and this is, again, the last day for this one, 50 times the entry for every dollar you spend over at thealexjonesstore.com. And you potentially could win that F-250 Ford Raptor and then a black Ford Raptor as well. $20,000 also in cash up for grabs over at thealexjonesstore.com. So when you support us, we support you. We try to put some cash in your hands. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the supplements we have up on the site. Some of the best supplements you're ever going to get over thealexjonesstore.com. We support us. You're supporting, keeping this operation up and running. We appreciate you for doing just that. And if you haven't done so already, alexjonesapp.com is where you're going to want to go to download the app, alexjonesapp.com. All right, more to discuss in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Can feel the power of methylene blue. Don't let the evil power win. Order now on the alexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene blue, light my mind. Ultimate power, feeling strong and prime. Seymour's gummies, open the door. Get your strength back at Alex Jones' store.
Kick off the third hour of the program on this beautiful Friday morning. Welcome back, folks. All right, in a few minutes, Steve Baker will be joining me. I can't wait for that. As many of you guys know, Steve is recovering from a medical issue, and I will ask him how he's doing, but I was very excited to get a text from him saying he is back. He's ready to start talking and, you know, continue what he was doing best, which is going after the government. And, you know, we all love and support that. Folks, I don't know if you saw this story yesterday. I posted it on my Twitter page in regards to Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's a certified scumbag, if you didn't know that. Most importantly, Hunter Biden is a deadbeat dad as well. And so there's been many stories in regards to Hunter Biden, obviously, impregnating a woman who was an exotic dancer at the time. I don't care what her career is. You don't abandon someone. And she's been speaking out. She's been filing court filings, and yesterday, she actually filed a motion in Arkansas requesting that a judge actually incarcerate Hunter because he's failing to pay child support. Now, as many of you guys know, back in 2023, both the parties reached an agreement. Apparently, he was supposed to pay originally $20,000 a month in child support. Now it's been cut back down to $5,000. Now, again, he agreed to the amount. The amount's kind of crazy, but he agreed to it. Now, the provisions also included because she really wants him involved in their daughter's life. And just because he's an absolute dirtbag, low-life loser, that was one of the provisions for him to meet his daughter. And because he's a failure of a man, he actually has not met his daughter yet. What an absolute disgrace of a man. To sit there and just to ignore your daughter. Shameful. Miranda Devine also posted a court document as well, a part of all of this. And specifically on page 2 in the filing, and this one will pull at your heartstrings. It just highlights how much of a piece of garbage this man is. Apparently, Mr. Biden is being accused of ghosting the child, who is nearly 5 years old. This has caused issues with MCI, which is apparently the daughter's name, who has recently experienced emotional trauma at a family wedding. She apparently realized that her own father would not walk her down the aisle, and she apparently lost it. Can you imagine being 5 years old and being able to connect the dots on that? How heartbreaking for this poor girl. And she's beautiful. Piece of garbage this man is. Lock him up. Lock him up. I'm so done with this man. I'm so done with him. And you know what's really disgraceful? Is he's actually going out there and doing media tours. And people who have him on their shows don't ask him about this. Hey, Hunter, you have several kids. Even his first wife accused him in court of abandoning them and just being wiping out their savings. And nobody seems to grill him on any of this. You go out there, you impregnate a bunch of women, and you don't want to take care of your kids. Hey, Hunter, how about stop being a low-life garbage human being? How about that? Or just believe that your paintings weren't profitable? That's hard to believe. Again, Hunter Biden is a pile of garbage. He went around suing people because he doesn't want them disclosing how much of a piece of trash he is. Sued a bunch of people, then dropped those lawsuits because he couldn't afford them anymore. Well, we all know why he was doing it. It's lawfare. He was trying to bankrupt these people. And then he gets on these podcasts and he's not asked a single hard question. You know, did you sell his country out? Hey, why won't you actually meet your daughter, your biological daughter? Hey, how much money did you make from those paintings you were selling while your father was president? Now, can't talk about that. Can't talk about that. You have to humanize this man. Pretend like he's not the monster that we all know he is. He's just the president's son. You know, he's like a 50-year-old man who goes around impregnating people. Women, I guess I should say. And doesn't want to take care of his own kids. You should probably force him to have a vasectomy at this point in the game. We don't need any more children in the world that are going to have their lives ruined by that man. All right, folks, we're discussing a little bit. Don't go anywhere. We got to buckle up. We got about another hour of content to show you. So stay put.
G-Man, all the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine.
No way, you evil scum. Methylene blue is for everyone.
Order Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot to discuss, a lot to catch you up on. We look forward to that, especially when it comes to the J6 pipe bomb suspect. The FBI, DOJ claim they've got their guy, but the rest of us are, you know, waiting around to see more evidence to prove just that. But before we get to that and the incredible work that's being worked on over at the Blaze, Steve Baker, as many of you guys know, was dealing with a little bit of a health issue. So the other day I got a text message from Steve saying he's ready to jump back in. And so he joins us now. Please welcome back to the show, Steve Baker. He's an investigative reporter for The Blaze. He does incredible work, and it's an honor to have him back on. And, you know, Steve, I was very excited to hear that you're coming back, obviously, and very excited to have you back on the show. But you gave me a little bit of a nervous situation a couple of weeks ago. We were alerted that you were having some health issues. And I know the members of our audience really do appreciate all the great work you do, and they enjoy following it. So it's good to hear that you're back and you're ready to go. But just bring us a quick little update on your health issues. Is everything okay?
Yeah, Brianna, it's good. And thanks for having me back. I'm doing this slowly. Probably, you know, one interview a week is my average for the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks, as opposed to my normal pace of, you know, three or five a day. That is not unusual. But the prognosis is good. Just for those who did not know, I had acute heart failure about the Sunday before Christmas. So I got to celebrate Christmas with my family from a hospital bed. And it was unexpected. There were symptoms that I, of course, didn't recognize because I've never had this before, and I don't have a family history of this. My arteries and my valves and my heart are all clear. There's no blockages at all. It was a pretty massive AFib event, what they call it. And so that's what I was dealing with. And because I had ignored those symptoms for so long, a tremendous amount of damage had been done to my heart. I was still, you know, I was still functional, in the weeks leading up to this, sudden moment of realization that something was really wrong. And I got myself to the ER, but it was the fact that I had ignored those. So let that be a warning to everyone that if you do have unusual symptoms and you don't know what they are, those are probably the ones you need to get checked out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important, Steve, because this does happen often with men. I think that a lot of people don't recognize the signs, specifically though, men, and it's something that is really a big issue here. If you don't mind disclosing, what were some of the symptoms that you were experiencing that you didn't realize were earlier signs of all of this?
Yeah, the biggest one was the fact that when I would lay down to sleep at night, I had trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. So I was having a tremendous amount of, well, it was for an extended period of time. So it wasn't like it was at first I thought it was a cold. I thought, you know, maybe I'm getting a flu, maybe even some, you know, mild pneumonia or something like that. And in fact, what that was a buildup of fluids and blood in my lungs that was happening, over the course of time, as my heart was losing its ability to pump those fluids back into my system. Mm-hmm. And so it got worse and worse. And then the second follow-up sign was, you know, was a blow to my, you know, my ego, was I couldn't maintain my weight. And it was because I was building up water gain. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in fact, it was like 2 days after they got me in the hospital, I lost 15 pounds just like that, because they were able to get rid of that water gain that was building up. It was, you know, fluid buildup in my lungs. And so these are the things that I was not recognizing. And as a matter of fact, on the Sunday before Christmas was when I finally went to the ER, but I had been in DC all week leading up to that. And I'm very accustomed to running around on Capitol Hill and walking up the hill and down the hill and around. And I prefer to walk than taking Ubers when I finally, you know, get into the city there. And I don't even mind walking from one destination to the next if it's a mile or two. So I do that regularly. And I found myself in the last couple of days there in DC struggling to not walk a mile, but to walk a block. And that was the first really big sign that I knew something was wrong. The walking up the hill, maybe from, you know, the Rayburn building up to, where the Blaze offices are, not very many blocks away, but, there on Capitol Hill was becoming a struggle. And then on Saturday, I had to go, I was still in DC, and I had to go actually, to both the DNC and the RNC, because I was doing measurements there from photography that we had of the hooded pipe bomber. And these are things that we're developing, you know, our own testing on and our own measurements on, as far as shoe size, foot size, that sort of thing. And so I was actually out there with a tape measure doing that. And then on my way back to where the Blaze office is, I just had to stop. I mean, I'm one block from the Blaze office. I just went into a Starbucks and I ended up having to sit there for 2 hours, just to recover from this short walk from the Democratic National Committee headquarters. And then it was the next day, after I got home to Raleigh, North Carolina, that I knew something was serious enough that I needed to get to the hospital. And I did. And so fortunately, they caught it in time. I was down to about 10% of my heart's capacity at that point. I had done a lot of damage by ignoring it. And, you know, again, being just stubborn, I guess. But the net result is that the damage was done. And so now it's going to take quite a bit of time to recover. Yeah. But it is going well. And we are definitely positive about our prognosis for full recovery. And it's just going to be some alterations to my lifestyle and what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I'm glad you caught it. I'm glad you're good. And I know our audiences as well, because you do incredible reporting, and you're a great human. So we wanted to make sure that you were okay, Steve. So that's good. That's a good update for our audience, of course. I want to switch over gears a little bit, because just a couple of moments ago, you released another report over at The Blaze, and you know, I keep telling you, like, Steve, take a couple of weeks off. Go out of, like, calm, like, you know, you don't have to. But you're at it, my friend, and you're not stopping anytime soon. So your latest report that was just posted over at The Blaze details the specifics about the J6 pipe bomb suspect. And I know I'm skeptical. I haven't yet been sold on this is our guy. And I know you guys over at The Blaze aren't sold on that yet. Break down your latest report in regards to what you guys are digging through, because I've read through the criminal complaints. Again, it's not a slam dunk for me. And then we sat back and watched what played out in court just a few days ago. And again, it just seems like the DOJ, the FBI are all rushing to get this arrest going, to get the indictment. But I don't really think there's much here.
I would propose that we're just seeing a continued gaslighting by the DOJ and the FBI as it relates to the pipe bomber case in general, overall. Not only do we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that with all of the circumstances around the pipe bomb, look, we could spend, you and I alone could spend weeks of shows just doing nothing but talking about the anomalies and the contradictions and the legal aspects of weaponization, those things related to January 6th. But the pipe bomb itself is absolutely replete with these contradictions and confusing statements from the FBI at one point to this point. So you have contradictions between Ray's FBI and Patel's FBI, but Patel's FBI is continuing to present, as they said, the old evidence that they had accumulated on Brian Cole Jr. from 5 years ago, and in fact that there was nothing new presented, and that they are acting upon the old information from new eyeballs and from bringing in outside investigators. I think they called it a red team that they brought in to look at these. But this is nothing new, and in fact, they also knew 5 years ago why Brian Cole Jr. is not guilty and is not responsible for the placement of those bombs. And when we get into this new article that Joe Hanneman and I have put together, you will see, first of all, one of our editors, looking at this yesterday said that this thing was incredibly dense with information, talking about our article. And this is only part one of a 3-part series just dealing with the inconvenient truths, facts, and circumstances around the J6 pipe bombs. And nothing adds up. And nothing adds up to it being this kid. Now, I call him a kid. He was 25 at the time. He's 30 now. But as his grandmother said, he has the mind of a 16-year-old. And that's part of the problem with this, is that it took so much professional planning and coordination in order to pull off what the hooded pipe bomber did on January 5th, and then to unleash the circumstances at the precise exact timing necessary to create chaos with the Capitol Police just before and after 1 p.m. on the 6th, that this is far, far, far beyond the capability of an autistic, highly OCD young man with a lifestyle that eschews being in the public, being around people, leaving, going places other than walking his dog, walking up to the 7-Eleven every day. Look, we've already talked about this story, and I think that this is an important thing. One of the things that I was doing in D.C. before my heart failure was I was canvassing the neighborhood. I was interviewing people. I interviewed the 7-Eleven owner of the store that Brian Cole went to every day for 13 years to buy two Cokes, a couple slices of pizza. That was his routine. He came in every day with his headphones on. He didn't interact with anybody. He didn't acknowledge people. And the owner of the store, who himself says that he had seen him an average of 2 to 4 times per week over the course of the 13 years since he purchased that franchise, 7-Eleven franchise, he had seen him that many times. And he told me that in 13 years that Brian had probably said three words to him in a total of 13 years. And that was despite every single day him saying thank you and, you know, and helping him get his pizza. He just doesn't interact with people. And then on top of that, as the store owner said, look, he goes, when I heard about the arrest, and of course I've seen the videos of the hooded bomber, and he said, I'm telling you, there's no effing way that he's the bomber.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem to make any sense, Steve. I mean, we were going through a lot of the court filings, like I mentioned, and we also were listening to the reporters that were in the courthouse when he was shuffled in. Again, one person telling me that the walk of, and he was shackled. That could possibly be just something to throw out there. But his walk didn't match the walk that we see in the video of the J6 pipe bomber. And that was a big one for the reporters that were in the courthouse that day when he was shuffled in. But there was also a really interesting moment, and I wanted to get your reaction to it, because the DOJ was asked by the judge during the bail hearing, specifically what damage would have been done if these pipe bombs went off. They wanted to know what the estimate was. And the DOJ was unable to provide them with that, saying that we haven't actually done an actual estimate in regard to the damage that could have been caused by the pipe bombs. So that's really telling to me, because it's been, what, 4+ years, 5 years now? 5 years. And nothing's been done. I mean, what do you make of it? Because if they, I mean, this was a case that they said was very serious and that they wanted to make an arrest on, and the reward amount kept going up. And for some reason, they don't know how much damage would have been done if those pipe bombs went off. Seems odd.
Well, before we answer that question, let's go back to the statement you made about the other reporters who saw him shuffle into the courtroom shackled. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he is shackled, and I can tell you that. First of all, if you go back to the trials of the Oath Keepers, and these are the guys charged with seditious conspiracy, literally charged with the intent of overthrowing the United States government, of attacking Congress, and preventing the confirmation or ratification of the Electoral College vote in 2021 on January 6th. These are the guys charged with that crime, and they were not leg shackled when they were brought into the courtrooms every day for their 9-week trial. The reason why this young man is currently being presented to the public as in shackles is to prevent the public and to prevent those reporters that are in the courtroom from seeing how he walks. And that is also the exact same reason why the FBI, both Ray's FBI and the current Patel FBI, when they released video, new video of the hooded pipe bomber on January the 5th. This was their most latest video release, which was in October. They continued to show these frame altered videos that prevent anyone from establishing the gait of the bomber. And that is exactly what they're hiding by both of these. Now, going back to your question, one of the most disturbing aspects about this entire thing is that they are continuing to gaslight us on so many issues related to not only Cole's life, his behavior, his illness, his mental restrictions, those types of things, but they are also continuing to selectively release information through the court filings and through what we've heard in the courtroom so far, because they don't want to address the key and most important part of this entire thing, which is that this was an operation by, it was not necessarily planned by the Capitol Police, but they were the tools, they were the weapons of choice used to place this bomb and to bring this event to fruition. They are the only ones that could have known where the camera locations were and knew where the blind spots were for the hooded bomber to suddenly appear out of nowhere at 7:34 p.m. on the 5th. They were the only ones that knew where the blind spots were to park the car or for the bomber's accomplice to wait in Folger Park when the bomber, after placing the first bomb, picked up the second bomb, something else that's also strangely acknowledged by the Capitol Police, that is that the hooded bomber only carried one bomb at a time, or acknowledged by the FBI rather. And then you have the same circumstance where the only people that could have known where the blind spots were and where the hidden gate was behind the RNC, that after that bomb was placed, allegedly, on the evening of the 5th, is that the bomber then knew where the hidden gate with the hidden latch disappearing into the dark Catholic Church garden, St. Peter's, and then disappearing into another location where there are no cameras. And the only organization that could know that, understand that, impart that knowledge is Brian Cole. Now, the attorneys, the FBI has already acknowledged that Brian Cole, the alleged bomber, acted alone. Well, no, whoever did this was not acting alone. There's too many connective threads to the Capitol Police, to their abilities, to their intelligence department, unless you're going to tell me that the Capitol Police themselves groomed Brian Cole as a participant, then nothing else makes sense. And it, again, it doesn't matter how much the DOJ, FBI, Capitol Police, and unfortunately, our inept Congress members, continue to, ask the wrong questions and chase the wrong rabbits in on this trail. It doesn't matter how long they continue to do that. We're going to, Joe and I, our partners in this, our team that we put together, which includes Armitas, the video expert who brought much of this to us, and who was also working with the FBI, as a matter of fact. That's a little known story about his assisting the FBI. Point being is that the FBI has long known about everything that the Blaze, myself, Joe, are bringing to the public. And much of what they know came from Armitas's work. They're just not bringing it forward because it does not fit the narrative they need to do in the cover-up, which is to cover the actions of the Capitol Police themselves, and then probably a minimum of one or two other three-letter agencies.
Yeah. Well, we're keeping our eye on it, Steve, and I know you guys aren't letting up on it anytime soon. You know, yesterday we were there was a lot of criticism about the new deputy director over at the FBI, Christopher Ra, I guess would be his last name. I have to look into the pronouncer for that so I don't butcher it, but he used to run the New York field office, I believe. He was over there previously, and then he's been shifted around a couple of times. But we cover the story of Christy Crowder, who extensively about how she was, you know, wrongfully accused of being at the Capitol on J6. Director, FBI Director Kash Patel also coming out saying that she should have never been under surveillance because she was never there that day and the information was bad information. I reached out in regards to the deputy director because he was someone who was over at the Houston field office. I know Kyle Serafin and others have accused him of possibly being one of the individuals who had his hands all over this case. And I think we have got the email, if I'm not mistaken. This was the response that I just received moments ago from our FBI saying that he had no involvement and will have no additional comments. They're not very friendly. They're not very nice. And as you could see, I sent it over to a couple other comms teams. They're like, this is not the way you respond to someone who's reaching out to you. But the part where they're not going to, they wrote no comments, is the part where I asked them specifically how many agents have been fired. The number, not the names, the number of agents who've been fired who handled her case, who pushed forward to have her prosecuted, even though they had no evidence against her. And unfortunately, the FBI is unwilling to comment on that, of course. So there's a lot of issues that we have with this new FBI, as they like to frame it, but it's the same issues that we have with the old FBI. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. So, Steve, I know you and I will both be, we'll keep on it. But again, it's just important for me to highlight and keep showing the American people that we were promised transparency. We were promised a new reformed FBI, and we're not getting it. So there's that. Steve Baker, it is great to have you on the show. If you want to comment on that, too, I can give you a minute.
Yeah, the last thing I would say about that is you're absolutely correct. The press office at the FBI of the new FBI, quote unquote, our FBI, mm-hmm. is extremely unfriendly. They're more than unfriendly. They're actually sabotaging much of the truth that is being revealed about this, actually initiating their own campaign of calling reporters, of calling the White House, of calling other people, sitting down with Congress members and just flat out lying to them about the facts. Many of the facts that we've uncovered ourselves here at The Blaze, and that you have presented on your show, and that, of course, that the Suspendables, Kyle Seraph and Steve Friend and those guys continue to bring forth as well. And so it's really appalling that the new FBI is part of this continued gaslighting the American public about the J6 pipe bomb situation. And I will just close with this, and I'll say that if anybody has any questions about this, remember, this was a top three stated by priority by both Bongino and Kash Patel at the earliest days of their administration in the FBI. And top three being the number one often stated was the discovery of who the type and arrest of who the pipe bomber is. This was a number one priority. But since that press conference where they announced that, the White House has never congratulated them one single time.
Interesting. Well, something to definitely keep our eye on. Steve Baker, thank you so much. We appreciate your time as always. And we're glad to have you back in this fight. Steve Baker, folks, give him a follow on X, Steve Baker USA. All right, folks, more to discuss in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the DMOS because it's a thyroid issue. And the DMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has, like, a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is, like, a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not, like, predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Excited you're all here with us. Happy Friday, everyone. You know, it's Friday when Mel Kay joins the show, and she'll be with us in just a moment, but it's interesting when you look at those who tell our service members to, by those I mean Democrats, hey, listen, if Trump gives an order and you deem it as unlawful, don't follow it. Don't follow it. Well, Senator Slotkin was one of the many who orchestrated a video when was trying to confuse service members by telling them that they don't have to follow the orders of the President of the United States. Well, it's resulted in a full-on investigation, and they're using this as an opportunity to make it seem like the president's after them. There was a video that she released on X. Take a listen to clip 13.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin from Michigan. Last week, U.S. Attorney from the District of Columbia, former Fox host Jeanine Pirro, reached out asking to interview me because of a 90-second video that I filmed in November. This is on top of an FBI inquiry that came in from the Counterterrorism Division late last year. To review the bidding, in November, six of us with service and veteran background filmed a video restating the Uniform Code of Military Justice, saying that those in the military have a responsibility to reject illegal orders. In response, the president called for us to be investigated, arrested, and ultimately hanged. He ended up tweeting over a dozen times about that, and yesterday in Michigan, falsely said that I stole my 2024 election. In response to the president's tweets, the threats went through the roof. We had over 1,000 threats come in. Over 100 were credible and are being investigated. I went on 24/7 security from Capitol Police. I had a bomb threat at my house. My parents were swatted in the middle of the night, and my siblings had cop cars placed in their driveways. And now he's using his political appointees at the FBI and the Department of Justice to follow through with his threats. To be clear, this is the president's playbook. Truth doesn't matter, facts don't matter, and anyone who disagrees with him becomes an enemy, and he then weaponizes the federal government against them. It's legal intimidation and physical intimidation meant to get you to shut up. He's used it with our universities, our corporations, our legal community, and with politicians, who falsely believe that doing his bidding and staying quiet will keep them safe. No, I'm not going to do that, because this president does not represent the views of a majority of Americans. Even if you voted for him, I do not believe that his vision of America is shared by a majority of Americans. Because this country is worth fighting for. Our freedom of speech is worth fighting for. Our values, our core values, are worth fighting for. And right now, speaking out against the abuse of power is the most patriotic thing we can do.
And that message brought to you by the CIA. Obviously. Folks, what a well-scripted script you heard there. Victim card, got to throw that out there. I've been receiving death threats. Oh, well, welcome. The rest of us have as well. We're all over it. We're all over what you did was, I would say it's treason at this point. But let's ask my girl Mel Kay. Mel Kay joining the show right now. She's host of the Mel Kay Show, and she also has a great book out, Americans Anonymous. You better snag it over at Amazon right now. Mel is doing an incredible work as an investigative journalist trying to dig for truth and exposing the government corruption. And then she also does a great job at archiving government documents that they try to delete later on and putting it up on her website. So, Mel, it's great to have you on the show again today. obviously that message, it might as well just come as a press release from the CIA at this point, but they're using people like Slotkin, of course, to deliver their message, and their message is to create confusion and also pin the American people against the president of the United States. What do you make of it?
Well, first and foremost, I think that it's time, as you know, I have a book coming out, Infiltration Instead of Invasion, America Betrayed 1944 to 1954, largely about the Dulles brothers and the creation of the CIA and State Department that was reconfigured to not really work for the U.S. But what I have to say about her is, first of all, I think every American citizen should be aware not only that she is a trained CIA analyst, but that the CIA itself does not take an oath to the Constitution. The CIA, frankly, trains people to be covert operators, to have plausible deniability, to do psychological operations and regime change, and she is one of them. And frankly, I think there's a lot more CIA operatives in our government and in our media than we know about, and I would like to see that exposed, because what she is doing and saying is so clearly a psychological operation to agitate people, to get people angry and confused. Trump has done nothing wrong. There have been no illegal orders. Nothing like that has even happened. And I think we really do have to look at her. And there's also the woman in Virginia, Spamberger, whatever her name is, also CIA. If you were trained in the CIA, you should not be a front-facing representative of the people. Frankly, intelligence requires secrecy, manipulation, no transparency. And then we're supposed to believe that she ran for office and became somebody else. I really think our government is fully infiltrated by intelligence operators. And don't forget, and we'd like to know, because they're not getting to the bottom of everything, but the CIA is not supposed to be on the ground in America at all. And now we know the CIA was on the ground on January 6th. CIA Brennan was collaborating with CIA station agent in London, Gina Haspel, to concoct the Russiagate. I mean, it's just at a point where the intelligence community, particularly after the unconstitutional Patriot Act created the DHS and the DNI and TSA. I mean, we have become a police state run by intelligence. And frankly, it seems that the entire Washington, D.C. are either cowards, complicit, or afraid of the intelligence community. And so then you have these operatives come out like her and pretend that they're these good people and everything. No, no, no. You trained with the clandestine operations of the World's Regime Change Corps. So, I mean, where are we now with these people that are obviously doing psychological operations openly on the American people with the propaganda? And I'm still wondering why Donald Trump and everyone hasn't addressed the Obama switcheroo, turning propaganda that was banned on American citizens into something that's fully funded and allowed with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And frankly, she should not be in office, and B, she should have already been charged, as everyone that was in that seditious video should be charged. Trump was doing nothing to warrant such a video. That was a preemptive strike against people in our country to warn them that somehow Trump was coming. Well, they are concocting the need for the Insurrection Act on purpose. And don't forget, they were calling January 6th an insurrection days before it has come out. They were saying there was going to be an insurrection. Remember that word. That word is because they can then use the Constitution. It's just been a crazy week, and for me, the January 6th hearings did not get enough attention. But again, the CIA was on the ground at the January 6th events. So bottom line is, something has to be done about the CIA, and particularly I think the American people deserve to know everyone in our government that is or was trained as a CIA operative.
That would be a good start, Mel. That would be a good start. I don't know if they'd actually want to out their own, though, of course, because they've been able to infiltrate pretty well and to get this passed.
It's not a good organization, and it's not working for the American people at all. I don't think it ever was. I think it was created by Dulles and his brother during the post-World War II period to protect the supranational architecture that Trump is trying to dismantle and having a very hard time. He's doing a lot of great things in the financial to take back our power. I think a lot of people don't know, after World War II, that United States was completely and totally looted, lied to, manipulated. All of our taxpayer dollars have gone to these global operations. First the Cold War, then the War on Terror, which was a war on a tactic that ended up making a very small group of people very wealthy. And frankly, I think the United States paid for the entire globalist operation all the way through the UN. So it's time for the American people to demand answers from our own government of how much we have been betrayed, looted, and lied to, and how we need to dismantle a lot of these operations, including, you know, CIA, and they're still running, obviously, Operation Gladio and regime change. I mean, that is not what the American people ever, ever wanted to be paying for. We'd much rather pay for our country to be rebuilt from within.
Yeah, and Mel, I want to get to what we're seeing unravel in Minneapolis. I know that you've been hot on that, talking about that on X as well. But there's a lot of people, a lot of agitators on the ground. And, you know, we just had Wid Lyman on the show, and Wid is one of the reporters over there. And he says, you know, it's the same faces that I've seen in other protests all across the country. And there they are showing up front and center. Now, obviously, we can't claim that they're paid because we haven't seen any evidence of that. There was one individual who did admit to Laura Ingraham that she was being paid right now, but she didn't detail what she meant by that. But the reality of it is these people are somehow, some way making their way to protest the protest whenever they could get an excuse to do an uprising. Who do you think might be behind this?
Well, I know who's behind it. I mean, all we have to do is follow the numbers, follow the people. And I frankly believe that Scott Bessent is doing that right now. But he's using, you know, he's the head of the Treasury and IRS right now, and is using the IRS to basically follow the money here. But we know a lot of this, first of all, it's not left and right, Republican and Democrat. This is globally funded to collapse America from within. Right this week, they are about to have their World Economic Forum run by Larry Fink, who also no one's very upset about that. He also is running Agenda 2030 and the Great Reset at the same time. Most of our public pensions are run through BlackRock, which he also runs. So to me, it's very easy to understand that Agenda 2030 and the agenda that Barack Obama signed us onto and has basically led us to the cusp of is a nation state ending plan. And nation state ending, what does that mean? That means collapse America from within and then control cities as hubs for basically operations inside America until we give up our sovereignty to a global idea. So when you trace these, you're always going to find George Soros and the Open Society. But frankly, you'll find the Ford Foundation. You'll find the Rockefeller Foundation. You'll find anyone that Omidar, all of these people that have been funding a Democracy Alliance, a lot of things with democracy in it, obviously. And frankly, I believe just like with everything else, as I believe with the Epstein case, the best way to find the people and hold them accountable is through the financial transactions. And they exist. They absolutely exist, because then you go to Indivisible, or you go to that 51501, whatever that is, or 1630 Project, or Beautiful Trouble, or any of these groups, and you're going to find the exact same 10 globalist NGOs funding all of them. And that's where we have to go. A, I hope he ends the IRS, but even more, he has to end the 501c3, 501c4 nonsense. And it's just a complete and total RICO criminal organization at this point. I don't know why they haven't dismantled Act Blue yet, who is very guilty, and I believe will connect to all of the NGOs as well. But frankly, what they are trying to do is to make America give up on itself, and I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen too, Mel. And I think most people are getting tired of all of this. And so, yeah, that does make sense. And the Act Blue thing is really getting on my nerves too, because it's so obvious and it's such an easy win. I mean, I had my friend in Georgia who put up a screenshot, and Phil Holloway, and he's like, I've never donated to Act Blue. And yet there's several donations in his name. Yeah,
and don't forget Black Lives Matter. It's the same funders. And I also want to remind people that Minnesota is a festering crime scene because Operation George Floyd happened there. And now this good woman has hired George Floyd's lawyers. I hope people understand that Derek Chauvin is in jail and did not get a fair trial. Neither did the other guys, because Ellison and these same criminal elements running Minnesota and Minneapolis right now into the ground they were all involved in that too. And if you recall, what happened there was, fomented by the exact same NGOs that funded Black Lives Matter. The thousand currents or whatever that was went through Act Blue. So again, a Weather Underground person who was pardoned, that's an actual domestic terrorist, like all the rest of them that infiltrated our universities, was running the money for that Black Lives Matter. So this is the same money. It's the same people involved in that. And never forget that Ellison and Minneapolis gave George Floyd's family $27 million before Derek Chauvin went to trial. Okay, so, I mean, everything that has gone on there is a travesty, and frankly, I hope that this opens people's eyes to look back at what really happened with the George Floyd operation and how it was used to foment the entire uprising of the entire nation and to set this country on fire while we were locked down. Ground zero was Minneapolis. I mean, what are the coincidences? And then you look at, and then I think the most important thing for us to be honest about is that Eric Holder and his radical friends, they vetted Tim Walz to be the vice president of the United States. And we already knew everything about the CCP and his 30-year relationship there. We knew that he was like a World Economic Forum acolyte. We knew all this stuff. We knew George Floyd happened there. But now all the Somali fraud, you think that, I mean, this is definitely a cesspool. But if we can take down and actually prove everything about Minneapolis, I guarantee it's going to connect to every blue state. And it's going to be the exact same names and the exact same people and the exact same NGOs funding all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mel, we look forward to doing that because honestly, that's what we're noticing. We're noticing a common theme here. You know, everyone's exposing the fraud and then you're starting to see other, oh, wait, that's similar to Ohio or California.
Right.
So there's a common theme here. And I guess we're starting to pull the thread. And the one good thing that we give the Trump administration credit for, if it all works out as planned, is that they just hired a U.S. attorney. We're waiting for the name, though, officially to exclusively be going after the fraud and kind of tailing cases and allegations like you just detailed. So we look forward to seeing how that unravels. But I want to switch up gears a little bit. As our audience knows, over, I guess it was Monday, I was actually riding along with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, which is a great opportunity, one that I never thought was going to come my way, Mel. But they've been very kind to me, and I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, we made
You're
our
honest.
Way
honest.
Thank you. Thank you. I try my best to be. I try my best to
you
be. Well, you know, it was crazy because we made our way to SpaceX, and just an awesome experience. But there was a big announcement that happened, and that big announcement included how the Secretary of War was announcing how the Pentagon will be sharing information with Grok, and it's going to be creating this database, and apparently it's going to also include unclassified and classified information. Let's listen into how Pete Hegseth details it in clip 12.
Excited to announce the next frontier AI model company to join GenAI.mil, and that is Grok from XAI, which will go live later this month. So I want to thank you, Elon, and your incredible team for leaning forward with us on this as well. Very soon, we will have the world's leading AI models on every unclassified and classified network throughout our department. Long overdue. To further that, today, at my direction, we're executing an AI acceleration strategy that will extend our lead in military AI established during President Trump's first term. This strategy will unleash experimentation, eliminate bureaucratic barriers, focus on investments, and demonstrate the execution approach needed to ensure we lead in military AI and that it grows more dominant into the future.
All right, Mal. Got me a little on edge, and it's not just happening over at the Pentagon, too. It's worth noting that the First Lady is actually speaking later today in regards to AI being implemented for educational purposes, but we're really leaning in with this administration into this AI race. That's kind of what I'm getting from all of it.
Well, I mean, it's really because the whole world is. But again, all these things, first of all, it reminds me of that 80s movie War Games. Remember that movie where the computer took over the war?
Yeah.
And was lying to them that Russia was about to hit us with a missile? Very, very scary and dangerous. I understand the efficiency part of it, but at the same time, you know, I still think that human brains, human initiative, human strategy, particularly I do not like what they're doing in education at all. We should be going back to pen and paper, less computers, more learning from the bottom up. But frankly, the truth is it's probably already happening because Elon Musk is already the largest, I believe, defense contractor with the Department of War, and it would make sense. But the problem here is when they're talking about all this AI that they're going to be using, why aren't they using this AI to find all the money that we were talking about in the last segment? Because, you know, it seems like there's a lot of things that could be used for, like Doge was doing and all of that. All I know is that they're trying to compete with, look, why did we have the nuclear bomb? Because we were scared that Russia was making the nuclear bomb or China was making. So we had to do it first. Why did we have gain of function? Because we were scared somebody else was going to do it. So again, we have another situation where we're being told we have to do this because there's some kind of AI race in the militaries of the world that are competing against each other to lead the war AI machine. Whatever the case may be, I really think that there has to be incredible amount of oversight. And I'm telling you, I really do believe AI in education is not the way to go. I think we should be going back to actual education and using it to augment but not to replace. As you know, they want to have AI tutors and AI this and AI that. 9 times out of 10, I ask AI something and it tells me the wrong thing and I have to debate with it. So that's the other thing. There's a flaw in AI. And what learning models are getting fed into the AI. And, you know, there's just a lot to it. I just believe that human ingenuity, that we should be using AI as an adjunct to humanity and the human brain and not replacing it. And that's the fear, is that AI will be replacing it and then we'll be living in Terminator. And I don't really want that to happen. And I don't really think it's necessary on this level. I mean, I really would love to see some kind of agreement of big world powers to just stop the entire moving forward with a zero-sum game and start spending that same money worrying about their own countries. Our country is in a lot of trouble. And I just think before jumping the gun to start replacing things and, you know, it's saying it's going to have classified and unclassified information. Well, are there other AIs in China or India or Saudi Arabia that have the ability to manipulate and work with our AI? I mean, we don't really know the end game here, but we do know that a lot of people are afraid of AI going into its own mode where it can make decisions with or without humanity or humans. So I just think there's a lot of unknowns and it's very early to be jumping the gun. If they want to work together, that's great. But I don't know about, you know, what is going on in cyberspace. Are we certain? And doesn't Palantir and X and all of these companies, Oracle, don't they all have deals with all the other militaries too? Are these AIs going to be, you know, cross on the global public infrastructure communicating with each other? I mean, look, there's a lot of unanswered questions in AI, but when all the same companies that have deals with our Department of Defense have deals with Chinese military and Russian military and NATO, which shouldn't even exist, you know, you have to wonder, again, I've been saying the whole time, everyone's talking about, you know, this infrastructure, and I'm saying, does the infrastructure stop at our border? Do we have sovereignty in cyberspace? Is there sovereignty in this military AI cyberspace when it's all the same companies doing all the AI for all the countries? It just seems like a very a different way to go, one world government, one world military. I don't know how you divide that up in cyberspace. And I think the American people should be asking the question of, you know, where's our borders? Where's our sovereignty? Where's our constitution, our bill of rights when it comes to cyberspace, even in the military?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got our eyes on it, Mel. And I'm very curious to how this all plays out. I don't really have a strong take on it because I'm more on edge than anything else. And so I know we had a couple of callers call into the show and ask, I'm like, I don't know. I don't like robots taking over. And that's where I stand on all of this. It's the simple version of my head. Mel Kay, as always, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show today. Folks, make sure you give her a follow on X.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Mel Kay Show is where you could follow her. That's Mel Kay Show. She does this incredible job on Rumble. And she's got a new book dropping soon, so make sure you give her a follow so you get the latest. And you can learn so much about the CIA through my girl, Mel Kay. All right, folks. We are obviously watching a couple different things, but most importantly, I want to, you know, give a shout out to the Trump administration for doing something that I think is really good. Like, making sure that these individuals do not get visas. The U.S. has paused the processing for about 75 countries. That was announced. And if you don't, look at Infowars.com every day for your latest stories. I don't know what you're doing. This is a great detailed report that comes to us from Raw Egg Nationalist, who will also be joining us very soon in studio as well. But this is a good one. The United States has paused for 75 countries, some of those countries being the countries you'd want them to pause on, like Somalia, Russia, Afghanistan, Brazil, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Nigeria, and so many other countries right now. Good news coming from this administration, of course. And we're pushing for the reduction of H-1B visas as well. So that's a good one. But interesting enough, yeah, there's been significantly less visas being issued to individuals looking to come into our country. And we could at least celebrate that little victory that we got there. All right, folks. It is game over for me, of course. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend. But don't go anywhere because the Alex Jones Show starts next. And I have a feeling he's got a great lineup heading your way. So don't go anywhere.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at the Alex Jones.